Sickness and Shame, an Inception fanfic by Recrudescence, read by Sophie Nisba. The pairing is Arthur Eames, rating NC-17. Written in response to the following prompt from the Inception kink community. Arthur is 17 and still reluctantly sees a pediatrician, a handsome British pediatrician, who maybe gets a little too handsy sometimes, but he's just doing his job, you know. The author notes that this fic contains jailbait Arthur, misrepresentation of medical processes, and some pretty blatant sketchiness in the consent area. Sickness and Shame. Arthur has always been told he's mature for his age. Maybe it comes from being an only child, or from having to step into his father's shoes too soon, or maybe he's just too serious for his own good. Whatever the reason, he doesn't like having his foundations shaken. Going in for a physical is not something that should shake them. It has nothing to do with fearing needles or being ashamed of his body. Those, at least, would be problems under his own control. And everything to do with his doctor being really, really hot. It makes him feel like a slack-jawed, fumbling kid. There's nothing Arthur resents more than being unable to keep his cool. He's been seeing Dr. Eames since he was 13, twice a year, generally, for checkups and to bring in cookies for Christmas, because his mother is like that, always making some for the mailman and the bus driver and for Arthur to give his teachers. When he was younger, it used to embarrass him, and he would pawn them off on his classmates to avoid looking like a suck-up. Then he gave some to Dr. Eames for the first time. He had eaten one right then and there and made the most indecently pleased face, and Arthur had wanted to keep feeding him cookie after cookie just to see what other reactions they'd wring out of him. He'd only realized afterwards that he wanted this, of course. At the time, Arthur had almost had to run out of the room. He was 14 and flustered, and had seriously thought of begging to switch doctors. Dr. Eames was far nicer than his previous pediatrician had been, but he also had the ability to make eating a reindeer-shaped sugar cookie look like foreplay, and that was just not acceptable. Not to a 14-year-old sexually confused control freak in an almost outgrown pair of jeans. Everyone always gets so impressed when they find out his mother is a pastry chef. Then they immediately, almost unfailingly, ask Arthur why he's so thin. Dr. Eames, though, has never remarked on it. Not so much as a single wisecrack about Arthur needing to put some meat on his bones. It makes Arthur like him even more, which is annoying. Since at least if Dr. Eames were a jerk, it would make him feel a bit less inclined to like him at all. "So, this is the last time I get to see you, isn't it?" is all Dr. Eames says when he comes through the door, looking over the notations the nurse had taken down. And that's it. Not even a quip about envying Arthur his metabolism or how he's growing like a weed. "How've you been, Arthur? Still doing judo?" "Fine, yeah. Still growing, maybe. But he's also still built like a beanpole, and there's not a lot of fat or muscle on his bones. I don't think it's had much of an effect," he mutters under his breath. Arthur doesn't generally get self-conscious, but something about undressing for a doctor plays hell with his nerves, especially when said doctor has this kind of effect on him. He always feels lost in the stupid paper gown, skin prickling and nipples hardening against the scrape of it. So this time he's opted to skip over it entirely and just perch on the examining table in his underwear. Which he's beginning to regret, since it just means Dr. Eames gets a wonderful view of how skinny he is, even though he's fucking 17 now and should be leaving this awkward stage behind. Any time now. "Hard to believe. It feels like I've been seeing you forever." Dr. Eames gives him a quick smile. And it's not fucking fair that he has lips made for porn and uneven teeth that somehow just increase that appeal instead of taking away from it. "Let's just run through the usual, all right? You haven't gone and acquired any allergies besides shellfish, have you?" It doesn't take long, rolling through the standard questions, Arthur answering absently, and he catches himself wondering once again what Dr. Eames is like under his horrifically patterned scrubs. Sometimes he manages to look full-on dapper, dress shirt and tie and white coat, and sometimes he has on scrubs with prints that manage to be atrocious and flattering at the same time. Today they seem to be covered with pastel-colored penguins. Arthur never thought he'd find himself attracted to someone covered in cartoon penguins, but Arthur's been learning that he never thought a lot of things about himself. And then there's the accent. Fuck that accent. accent. It's not like Arthur never interacted with a real live British person before. He went to an international elementary school when his father was still alive and working for the government. He grew up with languages from all corners of the globe melding into each other around him. And something about Dr. Eames's voice has the power to give him honest-to-God goosebumps anyway. He's also got huge arms. Arthur can tell that, even though he can't see them properly. And he wears a long-sleeved shirt underneath the top of his scrubs, but once Arthur caught sight of what looked like the tail end of a tattoo peeking out from under one rolled-up sleeve. He's jerked off an embarrassing number of times to that little scroll of ink. "Are you sexually active?" said voice asks him, same as it does every year. But this time Arthur pauses before answering. I was, kind of, but not anymore." He can't lie to a doctor. Dr. Eames marks something down. "Were you using contraception at the time?" Arthur hesitates again, feeling heat begin to rush to his head, and wondering if it would be too obvious if he were to grab the stupid paper gown and hide under it. "No." "Have you considered using it in the future?" He freezes up completely at that. He's noticed Dr. Eames doesn't wear a ring, but that could just be because it's practical not to, as a doctor. Though he's wondered. A lot. His cheeks have to be magenta by now, and he literally doesn't know what to say. Then Dr. Eames seems to catch on. "Or is the likelihood of anyone getting pregnant a non-issue?" "Yeah." Arthur stares down at his feet. "Not at all." "It's still wise to use protection regardless, you know." Dr. Eames' voice is quiet, and there's no trace of judgment in it. "I'm sure you understand that." Arthur looks up, forces a wry smile. "Things didn't really get far. Just hands." The words put up such a fight before he can actually utter them, and he hates it. He had issues with anything else being too gay. Dr. Eames sets down the clipboard and gives Arthur a look he can't quite decipher. "Plenty of people out there don't feel that way. Just don't make any poor choices when you meet them, all right?" He turns to the sink before Arthur can reply. Something in his chest loosens, and he could swear it feels a little easier to breathe. Of course, that only lasts about 10 seconds. Arthur didn't bat an eye when the nurse took his temperature and blood pressure, but the second Dr. Eames presses his tragus with one firm fingertip, he's ready to go to pieces. "Any pain here?" He manages to shake his head. "And here?" Repeating the same thing with Arthur's other ear, and he's close enough for Arthur to hear him breathing, close enough for him to pick out every last fleck of tropics blue and slate gray in his eyes. Arthur closes his own and wills his body to cooperate. "No. It's ridiculous, getting riled up over having Dr. Eames's full focus on him, when that's just his job. And even though all he's doing is examining Arthur's ears, he's still giving him such close and careful attention, it makes Arthur squirm. The paper of the exam table crinkles beneath him, and it absolutely fucking sucks that his ears are apparently an erogenous zone, and probably beet red by now. The nose and mouth are next, which is easier, though Arthur's skin still feels too hot, and he can't stop squirming slightly where he sits. When Dr. Eames says, "Tell me if anything hurts when I put pressure on it," and starts kneading fingers up the sides of his neck and above his collarbones, Arthur is sure it's obvious his heart is thrumming too fast. Then Dr. Eames stands behind him, with his fingers splayed at the base of Arthur's throat, in order to check his thyroid gland. "Right, now swallow for me." Arthur's mouth is Sahara dry, but he does. "Good." Dr. Eames has a habit of narrating what he does, which does nothing to settle Arthur's hormones. He has a lulling voice, soothing, and Arthur's sure he's normally very good at keeping his patients at ease. It's just that Arthur is not at ease where it matters most. At the moment, Arthur can only think of two things. One, how badly he wants to tip his head up and kiss him, and two, how woefully inadequate his underwear is starting to feel. He hunches forward slightly, knees pressing together, biting his lip at the rub of cotton against his cock. And, okay, so he might have had a slight ulterior motive for foregoing the itchy paper gown. And it might have had to do with this being his last pediatric visit, and him wanting Dr. Eames's hands on him as much as possible. Maybe. Arthur considers himself a pretty responsible person, but he still isn't a legal adult yet. Therefore, he doesn't have to make adult decisions every minute of the day. But now he's starting to hate himself for it, sitting there with his jaw clenched and his fingers curled whitely around the cool brown padding of the table, and a new rush of blood jolting straight to his fucking cock every time Dr. Eames touches him. Every time he's visited Dr. Eames before, Arthur's been smart and gotten himself off in the bathroom beforehand, just in case. He's always been determined to avoid any kind of humiliating incident, but for some moronic reason he was positive that this time he was old enough to keep himself under control. Dr. Eames has always treated him well. He's always remembered Arthur and showed an interest in him. And Arthur knows it's all part of his job, paying attention to these things. And he'd probably forgotten everything until he skimmed Arthur's file on his way through the door. But it's always made him feel special, anyway. Making a fool of himself in front of Dr. Eames has never been a priority of his. Dr. Eames is still behind him, tapping lightly on either side of his spine and having him breathe at intervals. The stethoscope, when he first touches it to Arthur's back, is a little chilly, and he jumps, then jumps again when Dr. Eames lays a hand on his shoulder, just for a moment. Sorry about that. It'll warm up, I promise. Arthur wriggles anyway, cock harder than ever between his legs, and he shoves his thighs together and tries to lean forward a little more to hide it. Of course, Dr. Eames chooses then to start making small talk. You're going to be graduating next spring, aren't you? What? Oh, yeah. Arthur can barely nod, appalled at the way his body responds so readily to the smallest sensations. Excited to have high school over and done with? His fingers are smooth, closing over the crest of Arthur's shoulder. Arthur squeezes his eyes shut, tries to loosen his death grip on the table's edge. I'd be more excited if I didn't still look like a freshman. Everyone ages differently. There's an enormous difference between being 13 and being 17, and your body's on track in every way that matters. You'll settle into your adult shape sooner than you think. Breathe for me now, nice and deep. Good. He moves around to Arthur's front, placing the stethoscope at various spots on his chest and upper stomach, while Arthur prays to every god he can think of that Dr. Eames doesn't look down. What Dr. Eames does do is flash him a grin, and that isn't much better. I mean it, he says. Believe me, I've been there. Arthur has a difficult time imagining Dr. Eames as a scrawny teenager, but somehow he twists his face into a smile. I find that really hard to believe, but I appreciate it. That just proves my point then, doesn't it? He takes another minute or two to examine Arthur's arms. No trouble bending, that's good. Go on and lie down, please. Once again, Arthur considers jumping up and running out of the room. I feel fine. Do you really? He trails off when Dr. Eames tilts his head and pointedly gives the table a pat. Nothing's going to hurt, you know that. It'll be over before you know it. Arthur is sorely tempted to mutter, "You have no goddamn idea." But he bites his tongue and obeys. Stretched on his back with his erection tenting out the front of his underwear, and no doubt obvious as fuck. Inside his head, Arthur repeats that word in all kinds of inventive ways. Dr. Eames's hands look so large when he splays one over Arthur's ribs and uses two fingers of the other to tap here and there. Arthur's holding his breath, waiting for the fallout. It's almost impossible, trying not to writhe up against his palm, trying not to imagine it sliding lower, under his waistband, and gripping him just there. But Dr. Eames seems to have all his attention on Arthur's liver, which is apparently a perfectly normal size, not that Arthur has a clue how he can tell. Maybe he's all worked up over nothing. Surely Dr. Eames has patients humiliating themselves in front of him all the time. Dr. Eames probably can't go out for coffee without having bouquets and phone numbers thrown at him. Arthur can't be anything more than yet another blip on his radar. Don't forget to breathe for me, Dr. Eames murmurs at him. And he sounds so calm, even though his hands are fucking everywhere, pressing and kneading gradually lower on Arthur's stomach. Arthur fights the impulse to draw in his knees and cover himself. Sorry. He finally dares to look up at Dr. Eames's face, surprised that he can't detect so much as a trace of amusement there. You're doing fine, Arthur. He applies pressure just under the curve of Arthur's ribs. Tell me, do you feel any tenderness when I touch here? Arthur wets his lips. No. And when I release? His fingertips are just barely grazing the skin now, and Arthur involuntarily curves up towards the touch as it draws away. Yeah, it's fine. Then his hand does dip beneath the elastic of Arthur's underwear, just a bit, and Arthur can't bite back the whimper that uncurls itself from his throat. Mm-mm. And there? Does that hurt at all? He shakes his head, gulping down air too fast to trust himself with words. Dr. Eames gives him one of those smiles that does nothing for Arthur's heart rate or his mental porn stash about that mouth. The good news is, all your organs seem to be in the right place. I'm just going to listen for a minute. The stethoscope, Arthur has decided, is an implement of Satan. Even warm, it's impossible not to wriggle in response to the feel of it on his abdomen, chest, navel. Dr. Eames' eyes are on him, so attentive that it's almost like having his hands on him again. Just thinking that makes pre-cum gather at the tip of his cock, slipping over the head of it and smearing against his boxers. Arthur's teeth are bruising his lower lip, fingers gouging into the padding of the table, and the only thing he can think is fuck, fuck, fuck! Dr. Eames's palm slips around his opposite side, and he's saying something, but Arthur's too nervous to even register if anything hurts at all. Arthur's beginning to think maybe he's in the clear to sit up and start collecting his composure, but then Dr. Eames is giving a quick pinch to each of his nipples. Arthur actually yelps, fingers clutching still harder at the table edges. Arthur. Those horrible, wonderful hands are on his own, then, gently loosening his grip. Arthur flexes his fingers, letting the feeling tingle back into them. And when he hazards a glance upward, Dr. Eames's eyes are nothing but encouraging. You're in wonderful shape, as far as I can tell. But I need you up on your side now, all right? Not much more, then we'll finish this off. It doesn't even matter anymore. He's so hard that he can't even pretend to hope Dr. Eames isn't noticing. All he can do is be grateful he isn't busting a gut laughing at him for it. Arthur knows he's flushed and breathing too fast. Moving just makes his dick rub against his underwear, and he can feel it. Toes curling, face burning. Fuck, fuck, not now, oh fuck! When the extra stimulation causes another few beads of pre-cum to pulse out of him. It's insult to injury when Dr. Eames actually draws the cloth down slightly. What I'm doing now is palpating for femoral hernias. Once again, tell me if anything feels painful. Pressing at the crease of Arthur's thigh and groin as he says it, as if he doesn't even know he could just slide his hand over a few inches and be actually touching him. This palpation business apparently goes on forever. As always, Dr. Eames's hands are careful and capable. Arthur can see them etched inside his eyelids, even when he keeps his face turned away. Short nails with scarcely any white, fingers that always seem to be fidgeting with something when they aren't doing anything medical. Arthur is incensed at how uncooperative his body is being, but then Dr. Eames is lifting the stethoscope and praising him. And that doesn't help much, because his voice is still amazing. Relax, it's all right. Other side, please. Arthur can't answer. He's going to soak through his underwear at this rate, no hiding it. Always a source of embarrassment. He doesn't just get hard, he gets wet. Like a girl. He'd actually thought of asking Dr. Eames if it was normal once, but eventually he'd just done his own research instead. He has his pride, after all. Or at least he thought he did, until now. He squeezes his eyes shut again as he turns and wills for it all to be over. But those hands keep touching him, pulling his underwear off his hip just a little so Dr. Eames can place the stethoscope there. He's so close to touching his fucking cock that Arthur is honestly starting to fear the worst. This isn't... Christ, he can hardly say it, chest heaving as he struggles to allocate breath and speech. I didn't mean... Dr. Eames's response blurs in his mind, assuring him that it's natural, that it happens all the time, that it's just part of growing up, It all makes Arthur feel young and awkward, and Dr. Eames is kindly telling him that he can take some time in the bathroom if he needs it, but Arthur is sure it'll just happen again, and he can't swear he'll even be able to make it that far, given the state his body and his dignity are in. "It's fine if you need some time before we move on," Dr. Eames says again. "Are you absolutely sure?" "No, just do it," shrugging lamely as he sits up. "Let's get it over with." Logically, nothing should cause a limp dick faster than the sight of a doctor snapping on a glove. Arthur's body, apparently, doesn't do logic. For the first time, Dr. Eames looks at him with a touch of concern. "It's okay to change your mind. Otherwise, if you could just step out of your underpants, I promise I'll make this as painless as possible." He slips on the second glove, and Arthur chokes down a groan of despair. The floor, annoyingly, shows no sign of letting him sink through it. Not when he tugs off his boxers, not when he places them, with the damp portion very deliberately folded out of sight, on top of the rest of his clothes, and certainly not when he's standing there, with his breath snagging in his chest and his cock aching between his thighs, and not a single stitch on his body. He's imagined incidents like this, but the current situation is missing the target by miles, and Arthur is too agitated to be amused by the irony. Dr. Eames pauses, as if giving him another chance to change his mind and bolt naked out the door. Arthur looks him in the eye and nods fractionally. When Dr. Eames's hands brush against his cock, Arthur is convinced he has a minor heart attack. His mouth parts around a quiet, not quite stifled gasp, and everything goes rigid. But then that touch is moving lower, cupping and massaging and paying far more attention than Arthur can stand. Dr. Eames is telling him something about examining the scrotum for inguinal nodes and cysts, and Arthur thinks maybe he's only saying these things because they're perfect bone-killer material, and it's his way of trying to do Arthur a favor. But all Arthur knows is that it isn't happening. It's clear he's in over his head. This is nothing like awkward hand jobs with his stupid sparring partner from judo class, and it's becoming rapidly, painfully clear that he should have run for the bathroom and jerked off into a cup when he had the chance. Shouldn't have tried to play it cool when there's no cool left in him. Both his arms are braced behind him on the table, locked, tearing the paper on it where his fingers are digging in. And Dr. Eames is doing more of that fucking counterproductive soothing, words like, "That's it, everything's all right, you're doing just fine, nearly finished," like velvet rubbing against him, inside and out. Dr. Eames is not deterred. Dr. Eames is so fucking professional, it's almost insulting. He doesn't seem at all aware how cruel it is when his tongue flickers over his lips, just for a moment, and causes more fluid to well and spread at the tip of Arthur's cock, while Arthur dies a thousand mental deaths and stares fixedly at the ceiling, because he doesn't want to watch himself drip all over Dr. Eames's fingers like a leaky faucet of perversion and adolescence and supremely awful responsiveness. Those gloved hands are on him far too thoroughly, and in too many places, squeezing and massaging against his balls, fingers deftly nudging up the underside of his cock, thumbs drawing the slit slightly open, as if Dr. Eames can somehow see into him. Arthur is mortified at the way his hips buck at that, sharply enough that his erection slips free, and Dr. Eames has to do it again. "Fuck! Sorry!" He still hasn't learned his lesson. Even now, degraded as fuck and leaking into his doctor's hands, he still wants to spread his legs wider, and let Dr. Eames touch him even more intimately. He can't stop himself from imagining it, the way Dr. Eames would ease a finger into him, and the way his voice would sound wrapped around words far less clinical than whatever he's muttering now. Dr. Eames is nodding up at him, brow furrowed. "One last check for hernias, and you're free as a bird. If you could just turn your head and cough." He has the finger of one hand pressing at a portion of Arthur's scrotum, but the other he actually cups lightly over his cock, as if to hold it out of the way, or make sure Arthur doesn't shudder out of his grip again. Arthur is almost too busy trying to breathe, but somehow he does work out a cough, shaking, and then another when Dr. Eames repeats it for his other side. When he looks down, vision spark white at the edges, he gets a glimpse of Dr. Eames smiling at him, almost beatifically. That's it, then. You're done. And Arthur chokes on a sob and comes in his fucking hand just a fraction of a second before Dr. Eames pulls it away. At first, he can't accept the fact that he's done it at all. Once the realization sinks in, he actually wants to cry. It seems like the only acceptable response within his power. He can't make himself move. He can't make himself speak. And he's never, ever going to open his eyes. He's going to stay right where he is, slumped against the table, with every heartbeat hurting, and wait for the universe to put him out of his misery. Over his trembling breaths, he can hear the sound of a trash can lid opening and closing. He jumps when Dr. Eames pats him lightly on the shoulder with one hand, stripped of its glove, no evidence left of Arthur's embarrassment. His first impulse is to pull away from any kind of contact, but Dr. Eames doesn't say a word, just lets him slump further against the table and rubs lightly against his back until Arthur feels less like he's going to turn into a puddle. "I'm really, really sorry," he says finally. His voice cracks. "Of fucking course." At this point, he can't tell if he's closer to tears or punching something. "Arthur." Dr. Eames sounds as if he's beginning a speech he's given 1,000 times, which just twists the knife that much more. "I'm not a psychologist, but everything you're feeling is normal, no matter how overwhelming it seems." When he lifts his touch from Arthur's back, Arthur's eyes fly open at last, and he watches as Dr. Eames goes about wetting some paper towels and gently passing them over with his gloved hands. He's courteous enough to avert his eyes as Arthur makes himself as decent as he can possibly be under these circumstances, but Arthur's face burns anyway. "I know, I just... shh. You've got nothing to explain to me. Don't even worry about it." Dr. Eames is right in front of him, so close it should be making him feel caged in, but instead Arthur finds himself letting his head drop forward to rest on his shoulder. A sigh escapes him when Dr. Eames's hand goes stroking up his back, nearly to the nape, just once, and then drops away. He feels reckless, naked and post-orgasmic, and a little high from it, despite the mortification factor, half wanting to touch himself, just to learn how Dr. Eames reacts. If he kissed him now, Arthur thinks Dr. Eames might even let him. They're close enough that he could, if he just lifted his head and leaned in a few inches. Arthur can smell the spice of the cologne and the freshness of the soap. When he looks up, he can see the delicate scar lacing through one of Dr. Eames's eyebrows and the way his throat bobs when he swallows. He's sure it would taste sublime. Arthur takes a deep breath. "Could you finish?" After he disposes of his other glove and the paper towels, Dr. Eames glances at him, his forehead faintly wrinkled. "We did finish." "No, I mean..." Another deep breath. "I mean the rest." Dr. Eames is staring at him, realization written all over his face. "Don't worry, you're much too young for that to be necessary." "But I'm more comfortable with you than I'd be with a new doctor." He straightens up, trying to look as mature and rational as he possibly can, and trying not to think about how futile that is. "Please?" His voice catches, and Arthur curses up a storm in the back of his mind. "I want you to. And my granddad died of prostate cancer. It's in my file. He wasn't that old either. 58. 58, Dr. Eames informs him, is not young in the same way as 17. "I trust you." He doesn't hesitate this time, throwing caution to the winds, since he's already made a fool of himself, and it's his last visit with Dr. Eames anyway. It hasn't escaped him that one word Dr. Eames hasn't used yet is no. "And I've done it myself a couple times, but it felt strange. I mean, no one else is going to do it for me, so I should know how to do it myself. Once I try it with 2 fingers, it's so tight I can hardly even..." He could swear that puts a little color in Dr. Eames's face. "Arthur." The way he says it is all business, all adult. Arthur cringes, ready to grab his things and run. Glad he'll have a new doctor the next time he's due in, hoping like hell that this doesn't go in his file. Patient is a shameless hussy, also queer as a $3 bill, or something like that. Fuck, what if his mother ends up seeing it? Turn round, elbows on the table, and spread your legs, nice and wide for me. Arthur freezes. As he watches, Dr. Eames busies himself, pulling on a fresh glove, squeezing a dab of something clear and gel-like onto one finger, an amused little smile playing at the corner of his lips. Go on, then. Challenging him, Arthur realizes, expecting him to back down. Arthur doesn't back down. It should feel awkward, presenting himself like this, exam table paper crunching under his elbows, and his ass more or less offered up for whatever Dr. Ames sees fit to do with it. For some reason, it doesn't bother him. Maybe he's just immune to awkwardness by now. He bends forward just a little more and waits, forcing himself not to look over his shoulder. One of Dr. Ames's hands is still bare, and Arthur jumps a little when it touches him, resting warmly at the small of his back. The other hand, the one with the glove and the lubricant, touches him somewhere slightly lower but far more vulnerable. And at first that's all, just touching, the very tip of Dr. Ames's finger lightly stroking there, where no one's ever touched him before, cool and slippery, and pressing just the smallest bit. Arthur wills himself not to instinctively tense up in response, but there doesn't seem to be any helping it. His toes curl against the coolness of the floor. His nails bite into his palms. Sorry, I'm trying to... No apologies, we've been over this, Dr. Ames interjects, so quietly it's almost a whisper. Now breathe out, just like that. And then he's sliding in a finger part way, and all Arthur's breath goes gusting out of his lungs at once, head falling forward loosely. Dr. Eames's other hand starts circling there, carefully, where it's still settled on his back, and then, that finger slips into him completely. It's strange, having something inside him that belongs to someone else, and Arthur can feel the way his face screws up and then slackens at the sensation, the way his cheeks flood with heat and his nipples tighten. Dr. Eames's finger is thicker than one of his own, and he clearly knows what he's doing, which is far more than Arthur can say for himself. Then he moves, rotating it first one way and then the other, skimming against a spot inside him that has Arthur's hole clenching down hard around the base of Dr. Eames's finger. He gasps out loud, and he's positive Dr. Eames does the same, though his voice is perfectly steady. How does that feel, Arthur? Fine. Please. And he tightens around Dr. Eames's finger as much as he can when it shifts again, trying to prevent it from withdrawing. Keep going. Not yet. When the finger leaves him, Arthur's caught between irritation and bewilderment, until Dr. Eames taps the table with his ungloved hand, drawing down the paper and tearing off the crumpled portion. Back up here, please. Arthur doesn't know what's going on anymore, but he doesn't need any further elaboration. He goes clambering onto the table a second time, lying on his back with his legs parted, bringing in his heels when Dr. Eames briefly touches one ankle and nods. Good. And the next thing Arthur knows, he's slipping that same finger back into him, the tip once again nudging against his prostate, until Arthur is literally biting his lip to keep quiet. Does that hurt? No, it feels fine. And it does somehow. His hole seems to open to Dr. Eames's touch more readily now, which is a thought that makes Arthur's whole body burn. Could you show me how? With more? He sounds small and diffident, but if Dr. Eames hasn't laughed at him yet, it stands to reason he won't start now. He winces when Dr. Eames eases back out of him again. Shit, 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 shit! He's pushed too far, he knows, and Arthur could kick himself for it. He's steeling himself for a reprimand, watching the way Dr. Eames presses his lips together, and the way he looks at Arthur with eyes so serious it's enough to make him feel even more exposed than he already is. Then that gloveless hand is brushing his cheek, too fleetingly to be an actual caress, but more than enough to have Arthur's blood rushing through him like wildfire. Promise me, Dr. Eames says, that you'll tell me to stop at any time if you need to. Heart in his throat, Arthur nods. It's like something out of a deliriously dirty dream when Dr. Eames squeezes more lubricant over his fingers and reinserts one, then, gradually, another. Slowly, messily, slickness smearing against the insides of Arthur's thighs, and Dr. Eames rubbing even more of it over his hole and into him, before finally letting that second finger ease inside. And fuck, it feels like he's being stretched open wider than ever before, and Arthur wants to cry out because it does feel uncomfortable at first, but it also feels so, so good, and Dr. Eames's fingers are bigger and going deeper than his own, and Jesus, he's thought of this so many times. He's not going to risk ruining it. Dr. Eames is rubbing circles on his stomach, telling him he's holding up so well that he knows he can handle it, that Arthur's always been such a good patient. Arthur's mental state by now has been depleted to one long, drawn-out fuck, and he twists both fingers then. Arthur is moaning quietly, unable to stop himself, cock hardening and starting to dampen all over again. He can't keep back a strangled, please, when Dr. Eames presses on his abdomen, just inches away from actually touching his cock. Be honest with me if it's too much. I'm not going to do anything that means hurting you. Arthur only nods, whimpering, there on his back, with his heels drawn up, and Dr. Eames with two fingers in him and his other hand pressing gently at Arthur's belly, like he can feel himself inside him, which is a concept that Arthur has never even thought about. It's intimate and full, and he's stretched taut everywhere, and the door is locked, but there's a thrill at the idea of someone coming in and seeing him like this, spilling pre-cum and fucking himself down onto his doctor's fingers. Please, I... Dr. Eames pauses. Arthur squirms. Is there any pain? Kind of, yeah, but it's good. I like it. What is that? External stimulation of the prostate. Some people are more sensitive to it than others. It definitely isn't just his imagination. Dr. Eames's voice sounds distinctly strained. Before he can think any further than that, Dr. Eames is taking one of Arthur's hands in his own and guiding it onto his stomach. All you do is apply pressure, like this. He places his hand on top of Arthur's and does so. Arthur swears through his teeth. Doing it via the perineum is more common. Arthur's brain is melting. The what? Dr. Eames's fingers slowly withdraw, and Arthur makes an aborted sound of protest, but then one of them is touching the little strip of skin behind his balls, stroking lightly for a few moments before pushing against it. His cock throbs, pulsing out another stream of pre-cum. Oh! That, Dr. Eames says succinctly, and slides both fingers back into him. Arthur is practically incoherent when they brush against his prostate, and Dr. Eames presses at that spot below his navel a second time. Fuck! Please, I don't... That hand moves from his stomach to his forehead, smoothing back hair he hadn't realized was sticking to it. Are you okay? I just... Stuttering, hiding his face, back curving off the table. I need to come... again... Dr. Eames is still stroking him inside with two fingers, voice soft and careful. Arthur, darling, there's no shame in that. All it means is that your body's responding the way it should. And he sounds so sure and so understanding that Arthur just wants to believe him, but then every last muscle in him tenses when Dr. Eames curls those fingers a little deeper, and all that comes out when Arthur opens his mouth is a whine. Gonna... too loud when I... need you to... Can you kiss me? And he loses it, like this, with Dr. Eames in him, with Dr. Eames letting Arthur scrabble out one clumsy arm and draw him down with a hand to the back of his neck, until those lips are against his own, hot and sure, and Jesus Christ, his lips are positively fucking sinful. There's an unfamiliar scrape of facial hair against Arthur's chin. He's never actually kissed anyone of the male persuasion before, but fuck all if he's bringing that up now. But all that matters is that Dr. Eames's mouth is open against his own when Arthur thrusts his tongue inside and moans, muffled and broken, and coming until there's wetness spattering all the way up to his fucking collarbones, and those fingers are still, still buried inside him. Dr. Eames is slow and careful about drawing back his hand. When Arthur folds himself into a sitting position, Dr. Eames doesn't utter a word, just lets Arthur cling to him as he sighs and shivers through the aftershocks. The paper under him, once again, is ruined, and he's getting cum on the penguin scrubs where their bodies press together, but he can't let go. There's a cautious hand threading through his hair, but it falls away when Arthur tries to incline his head into the touch. "You know that none of this should have happened," Dr. Eames murmurs, his breath soft on Arthur's temple. "You know that." And Arthur nods, but he holds on even tighter. He doesn't know how long they stay that way before Dr. Eames extricates himself in order to straighten up. Arthur looks on as he dabs at his scrubs with a paper towel, then gives up and strips the top off altogether, leaving him in a plain gray long-sleeved shirt, close-fitting and rucked up a bit at the stomach. Just enough for Arthur to see another tattoo, just tempting enough for him to reach out and touch. For a second, there's the warmth of skin under his fingertips, but then Dr. Eames takes him by the wrist and steers his hand away, and Arthur lets him, even though he wants to feel lower. There are too many things he wants to do, wants to know, like whether Dr. Eames would ever fuck him, if he'd be patient and gentle, or if he'd take him hard and fast until he cried. His hole clenches, still slick and feeling oddly empty without fingers inside him. "I've thought of you, like this, almost 4 years now." Dr. Eames's face is noticeably more pink now, but still he says nothing, wetting another handful of paper towels and passing them on. Arthur hums vaguely, arching into his own touch as he wipes himself clean, watching Dr. Eames's reaction. "It feels different when you do it. Better." There's a sigh in Dr. Eames's tone. Arthur slides off the table. He doesn't want to hear Dr. Eames explain how wrong this all was. "How many tattoos do you have?" "A few. Will you show me sometime?" When Dr. Eames doesn't reply, Arthur just chatters right on. As long as he keeps talking, Dr. Eames can't tell him how inappropriate everything that just happened was. It isn't that Arthur doesn't know that, but he isn't sure he can bear to hear it. "You know, after I gave you cookies for the first time, I went home and got myself off so many times. I just turned 14 and I didn't even really know what it meant. I just wanted you touching me and making me feel that way." He hesitates. "Can I see you for a follow-up when I turn 18? There's a beat, then Dr. Eames is cupping his cheek. This time, the touch lingers long enough for Arthur to purse his mouth around a fingertip, reckless, smiling when Dr. Eames lets him get away with it. "Not while I'm working, you can't," Dr. Eames says, so soft, and all Arthur registers is that this still isn't a no, even now. "It'll just be a couple months. Then you can do whatever you want with me. And my mom taught me how to bake. You can get anything you like. Just tell me where to bring it." "Has no one ever told you not to pull your pediatrician?" Dr. Eames moves to the sink to pick up the clipboard, glancing over him with a bit of a smirk. Then, seriously, "You don't need to bribe your way into my good graces. You're already there." That tight, hard-to-breathe sensation comes back, seizes Arthur by the heart and refuses to let go. "You know how my parents met? My mother was catering for a Christmas party at Quantico. Some drunk idiot wouldn't leave her alone, and she hit him with a platter of marzipan. My dad saw and ended up asking her out." "That's a charming story, but how is it relevant here?" "I'm just saying, things come out of the most unexpected situations. Not," he adds hastily, "not that I want to marry you." There's silence as Arthur dresses and Eames writes God knows what on his clipboard. "Are you at all familiar with Asclepius?" he asks after a time. Arthur blinks. "I don't think so." "He's a figure from Greek mythology, used to carry around a staff crawling with serpents, which is where that particular medical symbol comes from." "Asclepius," Dr. Eames says slowly, as if he's still working out the story for himself, "was a doctor who did everything right, but then went too far and lost it all." Arthur isn't positive he wants to know where this is going, but he asks anyway. "What did he do?" He learned how to bring his patients back to life, and the gods struck him down for it. Dr. Eames looks at his hands. This is what happens when a doctor starts acting without thinking of the repercussions. What, you get struck by lightning? Dr. Eames snorts. It's a crap metaphor, but you know what I'm talking about. I made a mistake today, Arthur. I've never done anything like that before. I could lose my job, license, everything. It hurts, being called a mistake. He tries to laugh it off, mustering a smirk. So, because of this guy, the symbol of the medical profession is a staff with enormous snakes on it? Subtle. You, says Dr. Eames, his voice low, are so insufferably 17, you have no idea. It takes Arthur a moment to respond to that above the waist. He shrugs. Would it be better if I was 58? Dr. Eames doesn't answer. That was really quite shameless, bringing your dearly departed grandfather into this. Oh, I lied about that, Arthur says airily. He's alive and well. This time, Dr. Eames is the one who seems at a loss for words, but Arthur thinks he sees a flash of humor cross his features. You know, Arthur, physically you're a picture of health. Mentally, God help you. But you're not a psychologist, remember? No, just very good at making the occasional educated guess. Arthur takes a seat to pull his socks back on, blurting out the question when he's too preoccupied to look Dr. Eames in the eye. Do you really think I'm a mistake? When he finishes, Dr. Eames is regarding him with something like sadness. I didn't mean it that way. I meant that I acted unacceptably, and I apologize for that. Doctors act unacceptable all the time. They're not meant to. I've had jobs where being unacceptable was the goal, and this isn't one of them, not by a long shot. He drops his gaze back down to the clipboard, seeming to speak more to himself than to Arthur. I like where I am now. Arthur doesn't understand what he means, but he nods anyway. I won't say anything. I mean, everything you did, I wanted you to. Dr. Eames says nothing. There's a small, mirthless smile on his face. When I'm 18, Arthur, 2 months, that's all. He sounds childish, and he doesn't care. Just tell me, can I see you then? Not for an appointment, just to say hi, give you cookies. What he wants to say is that he'll gladly come back on his 18th birthday, wait for hours till Dr. Eames is off if need be, then let him take him home and fuck him any way he pleases. But he can't. He's not that brave or brash. Not now. You're supposed to get presents, Dr. Eames tells him, a little indulgent. Not give them. He finishes tying his shoes and stands up. They're practically of a height, which seems strange since Dr. Eames is nowhere near as lanky as Arthur. But somehow, in this moment, Arthur feels powerful, and Dr. Eames manages to seem small. Arthur leans in, a quick and light brush of his lips to the corner of Dr. Eames's mouth. If you want to give me something then anyway, he says, you can. And he leaves without waiting to hear what Dr. Eames has to say to that. He isn't sure he wants to hear it at all. The end. Prognosis by Recrudescence, read by Sophie Nisba. Pairing Arthur Eames, rating NC-17. This fic contains references to underage sex and one instance of homophobic language. It's not boring, strictly speaking, starting off Friday evening by hitting the gym and then the grocery store once he's gotten off work. It's routine. There's an enormous difference. Eames has learned to value routine very much, thanks to a few too many years of not having any at all. So when he comes home juggling his bags and trying to text one-handed that he has no fucking desire to go to a fucking hockey game in another fucking city, he doesn't expect to practically trip over the person hunched outside his door. Someone in worn jeans and an oversized maroon hoodie. Someone who grunts when Eames drops everything to make sure he doesn't have an actual corpse to deal with. If his home is being robbed, he's got a very lackluster lookout on his hands. Eames takes his chances and tentatively crouches down a bit more. Hey, all right there? The shape stirs some at that, muttering something that sounds suspiciously like, oh shit. There's not nearly enough of a chill in the air for exposure to the elements to be fatal, And Eames absurdly thinks that he doesn't have to deal with the bureaucracy of reporting a dead body. This probably looks really creepy, huh? His visitor sighs, sitting up and pulling back his hood. It's Arthur. Arthur, who muted the better part of Eames's conscience and spilled out too many confessions for him to properly process the last time they saw each other. He's still waking, still half-curled around a white bakery box, which is clearly the position he's been in for some time. The expression on his face is a mixture of embarrassment and sleepiness. Eames has a distinctly bad feeling about all this. Arthur, what are you doing here? I brought you these. He holds out the box, looking absolutely miserable, like some bizarre version of Little Red Riding Hood bringing treats to the wolf, which doesn't make Eames think very highly of himself at all. It comes back to him all at once, Arthur swearing to bake him anything he wanted, swearing to keep his mouth shut about every unacceptable second of attention Eames had lavished on him nearly 2 months ago. He never imagined Arthur would remember his promise, much less actually turn up at his home. Eames takes the parcel from his hands because he doesn't know what else to do. He knows what he should do. Look away, send him away, anything but encourage him. But he can't. Your mother's got to be. My mom's away till Sunday. Arthur stands, a study in lanky angles and incongruous grace, helping a friend with an opening. How did you get here? Drove. I parked in the visitor's area. Shoulders slumped, eyes downcast. He doesn't even look old enough to drive. I was just going to wait a minute and see if you were home, but I didn't sleep too much last night, and I guess I... He breaks off, shoving both hands into his pockets. Look, I know I'm freaking you out. I'd be freaked out if someone randomly passed out at my door. Sorry. He seems so tired, nervous, and annoyed with himself, and not even cracking a smile when Eames invites him in. It's exactly what he shouldn't do, which is at least in keeping with the theme of his actions around Arthur. Eames sits him down, fetches him a bottle of water and the remote control, and puts his groceries away while Arthur drinks and drowses on the couch. They're going to have to talk. That much is unavoidable. The least he can do is remember his manners. I really am curious to know how you found out where I live. I asked, Arthur says, like there's nothing to it. Said my mom wanted to send you a thank you present and was too shy to ask herself. Even under his messy hair, Eames can tell he's arching an eyebrow. Apparently, she's not the first. You can see it very clearly in his mind's eye. Arthur walking right up to the front desk and playing the cute little kid with the receptionist, the new one, asking her to please not breathe a word to Eames about this on behalf of his poor, sensitive mother. This just reminds him that Arthur's mother is a perfectly lovely woman who doesn't deserve to have her son's erstwhile doctor enabling his reckless behavior. Eames swallows hard and gives himself a mental shake, a quick reminder that he's the responsible one here, or at least he should be. Must have been a persuasive argument. You're a devious little creature, aren't you? I guess so, Arthur agrees. His gaze is glued to the television, and Eames, taking a seat in the armchair across from the couch, has to wonder what kind of teenager willingly watches CNN. Either Arthur's doing it to make a point, or he's too anxious to pay attention to what's on the screen at all. I'm mature for my age, he adds, as if Eames's mind had been broadcasting every ridiculous thought in it. Everyone says so. Do they? Arthur sets down the remote and goes very still, but when he speaks again, he's looking Eames right in the eye. I'm 18 now, he says, sounding perfectly serene despite the obvious stiffness in his posture. As of yesterday. I just thought you should know. More than anything, Eames wants to touch him, reach out and hold him and soothe his nerves, but he can't so much as look at him without feeling a sickening twist in his belly. The things he did to this boy. There are reasons some parents have reservations about taking their children to see any sort of pediatrician, no matter how impressive their reputation is. Eames is used to defying stereotypes, not becoming them, and he doesn't have a clue what to say that would be appropriate and not seem like a double entendre. Happy belated? Welcome to adulthood. Do you feel any different yet? Get everything you wanted? But Arthur sits there and calmly talks for him, like he did before when Eames was grappling with the magnitude of what he'd done in the exam room. Arthur had kept chattering on to try and pacify him then, maybe without even realizing it. You know, when I first started seeing you, I thought you'd be one of those really patronizing doctors. But you always treated me like an equal, and not just one more kid coming in for a checkup, even back then. The guy I had before really sucked at that. There's a hint of amusement in his words then, a hint of a dimple in his face. And it suits him so fucking well, Eames can't think of anything other than ways to keep it there. Seriously, Dr. Eames, I think you gave me some unrealistic standards. All things considered, Eames certainly hopes so. Not your doctor anymore, am I? Just Eames is fine. It's more intimacy than he should be encouraging, but hearing Arthur refer to him by his title is far worse. Arthur blinks, suddenly seeming so shy and small. That's what I'm supposed to call you? Why not? My first name just doesn't suit me. He musters a smile. Everyone says so. Changing the subject, that's what needs to happen, and fast. Eames grabs the first topic that occurs to him. How are you handling your last year of school? And Arthur, bless him, deftly takes the hint and goes right on talking about schoolwork, about senioritis, about how he thought of doing ROTC when he was younger, but his mother didn't approve. Unwittingly, he fleshes out the staid bits of data entrenched in his medical records, and then some. Eames learns that his father died when he was 8, and they moved here the year after, because his mother wanted nothing to do with whatever military project her husband had been working on, some kind of simulation program that didn't pan out, but Arthur doesn't know the details, and ended up starting her own business instead. He learns that Arthur hadn't actually planned on joining the armed forces anyway, on account of his sexual orientation, once he figured it out. That he's been faring well with the college application process, that he wants to study international relations, that he's holding out for a few choice academic scholarships from some of the state universities. He rattles on long enough for Eames to actually start feeling something like a sense of ease, and then interrupts himself mid-sentence to laugh drolly. Sorry, you didn't ask for the story of my life. Don't stop on my account, Eames assures him. I like hearing it. He pauses, stares at the television without registering a thing, and then bites the bullet. I'm the one who needs to be apologizing. No, you're not, Arthur says instantly, and there's a sharpness to his tone Eames has never heard before. Like a textbook example of teenage sullenness, Arthur draws in one of his knees and goes slumping further into the couch. Because that means you wish it didn't happen. His voice is so hoarse and low, Eames can hardly hear him. Eames's fingertips press whitely into the arms of his chair. Arthur. Oh, Arthur. He can't say a thing in response that isn't incriminating or inconsiderate or very possibly even intelligible. Arthur seems oblivious, his gaze once again fixated on the floor and his mouth opening and closing as if he can't find the proper words to fill it. What's the matter? Eames ventures. There's no hiding the hurt in Arthur's eyes when he looks up. You don't have to sit so far away. I'm not going to do anything. Eames can't rebuff him. In two strides, he's crossed the space between them to sink down beside Arthur on the sofa. He's ready to tell Arthur he's got it all wrong, that it's got nothing to do with Eames not trusting him, and everything to do with Eames not being so sure he can trust himself anymore. He's had to distance himself from an impressive array of bad influences in the past, and it unnerves him to think of just what this attraction to Arthur could mean for him, what other lines he's in danger of crossing. Arthur watches him with round eyes. It's plain that he didn't actually expect Eames to come to him, which only has Eames wanting to wrap him in his arms and make him swear never to sell himself or his capabilities short, not to anyone. He stays hunched in his seat at first, but then shifts over so easily, so readily, when Eames gives into his baser instincts and puts an arm around him. Arthur steals a glance at him and scoots in a little closer, thin-limbed and lithe, even through the bulk of his hideous hoodie. And trusting, so completely trusting, Eames wants and he knows and he can't put his thoughts into speech for the life of him. It isn't like that. I'm afraid I... But he stops himself there, because there's nothing else to be said. I'm afraid pretty much covers it. And that isn't the sort of thing he needs to be spilling to a freshly 18-year-old former patient, no matter how mature he claims to be. He cinches his arm tighter, and Arthur's brittle exterior chips away even more. It doesn't escape Eames that he's holding him, almost like he had on the exam table, Arthur melting against him, Arthur's wiry arms coming around him and holding him in return, as if Eames is the one who needs it. When Arthur exhales, even more of the tautness seems to bleed from him. Just so you know, I didn't follow you or ask the receptionist for your schedule or anything that weird. I wasn't even sure you'd be home. His face is warm when he ducks it into Eames' shoulder. Eames can smell the peachy scent of his hair. He is close enough to press his nose to the top of Arthur's head and breathe him in deeper still. He doesn't. I kept thinking all this stuff, Arthur says softly. Like, oh, maybe he's got a girlfriend, maybe a boyfriend. Maybe he's sleeping and won't open the door for hours. Maybe he knows I'm out here and isn't going to open the door anyway. Eames feels a fervent rush of protectiveness. I wouldn't have done that to you. I only fell asleep out there because I was thinking about this last night and I couldn't sleep until it was really late, Arthur explains, still so quietly, almost as hushed as the news that's still on in the background. And then I realized I had to do the cupcakes over again because the icing was strawberry the first time. I know you like strawberry. I saw you with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at the cafe once. But they were the gayest looking cupcakes ever, and you've got to draw the line somewhere. You do indeed, Eames says, not thinking of baked goods at all. It's not always as simple as it seems, is it? For the record, I wouldn't have turned away any sort of cupcake you brought me, no matter how pink. This is the point where he's meant to thank Arthur and show him to the door he never should have opened to him in the first place. But Arthur lifts his head, brow creased, and Eames can't imagine the torment he must have put himself through, trying to psych himself up and convince himself to go through with paying Eames a visit in the first place. I'm not going to stalk you or steal your fingernail clippings or whatever. I'll leave you alone if you want me to. I just wanted to see you and make sure you didn't feel bad about anything, and that you aren't mad. Arthur, I'm not angry. Even as he says it, everything replays. Arthur, without a stitch of clothing on, flushing and holding back and aching for more in spite of his embarrassment. The way he'd made such an agonized little sound when he came, then begged so nicely for Eames' fingers inside him. The way he'd asked Eames afterward if he really considered him a mistake. It makes Eames ashamed to remember it, ashamed that it happened where it did and when it did, but not that it happened at all. And that's the kicker. That's the bit he's been trying to lock away, the bit that fought its way to the forefront of his mind when Arthur looked at him with unassuming dark eyes and announced he'd turned 18. You weren't doing too well when I left, Arthur tells him bluntly. I just wanted to... I missed you. His eyes dart downward, and Eames can practically see him weighing the options in his head before he takes a chance and moves closer still, cuddling. He's not in Eames' lap, but it's a very near thing. Even though he should know better, Eames lets Arthur's knee nudge at his thigh, lets his fingers slip to the back of his neck, and his head drop down against his collarbone. He refrains from touching him back, just staring blankly at CNN, which is showing something about a Japanese company negotiating an energy deal. Eames sighs, turns it off. I shouldn't have encouraged that. Arthur gives a curt little snicker. You encourage it by existing, he counters, gesturing at Eames as a whole. Besides, I'm an adult now anyway. Don't you want... And he stops, looking stricken, and Eames touches him without thinking, thumbing a cheekbone. Arthur's lashes drop, excruciatingly fragile. Of course I do. He can't deny it. Not with his past actions speaking more loudly than anything. Arthur's always shown himself to be very intelligent and capable, but he's still so young, slight, unsure, still in high school. and whispering now, so close his lips are brushing Eames's ear. I dream about it and come in my sleep and wake up and make myself come again. It's happened so many times. Oh, God. Eames is still holding him, Arthur's mouth still open and skimming the hot skin of his ear. And I fingered myself, but it wasn't the same, since yours are bigger and I needed more. When he sighs, squirms, clings at the cloth of Eames's tea, Eames squeezes his eyes closed and wills his body not to betray him, no matter how badly he wants to pin Arthur down and make him wail. Wanted it to feel like it was you, Arthur goes on, ducking and not looking at him, but still steady-voiced. And I tried, like before, I tried touching myself like you did, a hand drifting to his stomach, and I pretended you were doing it to me. So I guess what I want to know is if you thought of me too, at all, or if you've just been trying to forget about everything. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Arthur. Very carefully, Eames encircles both of Arthur's wrists and places his hands on his lap. Let me tell you something important. He reaches until he's framing Arthur's face with his own hands, cheekbones under his fingertips, thumb brushing the corner of his mouth, soft and open and pleading, so beautifully to be kissed, even though Arthur's not making a sound. And Eames doesn't. Wants to, but doesn't. You deserve to be appreciated and doted on and treated like gold. Even to himself, he sounds raspy, feral. Understand, Arthur? You need to realize this. You need to. Arthur regards him with heavy eyes. But you do treat me like that. You need time to be young, learn yourself, have messy experimental teenage sex. Whatever. I know myself well enough to know I don't want messy experimental teenage sex. Arthur's fingers are folding around one of Eames' hands, clasping. I like getting stuff right. Eames is doomed. What else do you like? You? Your hands? The way you talk? He hesitates, and Eames's hand strokes down the length of his throat when he swallows. Your mouth. Arthur adds, and he traces it, one slender finger to Eames's lips. When you touch me, how you say my name. The way he looks at him, every emotion bare on his face, only has Eames aching to hold him tighter and kiss that worry away. It isn't kissing, what happens next. Not yet. It's more incremental, more about closeness than actually making contact. He can feel the warmth of Arthur's breath, soft against his lips, could lean in and taste him with the barest flicker of tongue, only lips brushing at first, dry and nearly accidental, little grazes of heat. Arthur is the one who closes the final sliver of space between them, his face pink and his mouth opening against Eames's, clumsy and soft. Eames is clutching at him so firmly, he's half afraid of snapping him in two. When he gingerly eases his tongue inside, Arthur quivers, gives a hot little gasp right into Eames's mouth. Then he really does climb into Eames's lap, letting Eames suck the tip of his tongue, letting him learn every little nook and corner of his mouth, until Eames loses track of time completely. It's wetter now, dirtier. And Arthur is braver about allowing his hands to creep into Eames's hair, allowing his tongue to venture deeper. He's hard, squirming and wanting and straining against the seam of his jeans. Eames can tell. Eames has made plenty of wrong decisions in his life. He wandered into heaps of stupid situations as a kid and thought the most improbable thing would be for him to pull his act together and become a doctor, surprising himself in the process and staying on track. He knows what it's like to be young and underestimated, and Arthur really is wiser than his years, probably doesn't even have many friends his own age, or at least no one close, which just makes Eames want to give him all the attention he deserves. As far as decisions go, this doesn't feel wrong at all. It's rather alarming. Arthur's lips are pink and his eyes are dazed, and he looks even younger now, sounds younger, plaintive. Why'd you stop? And Eames kisses him again, until Arthur is whining and trying to grind down onto him. Eames forces himself to still him with a hand to the center of his chest. Just hear me out. This is... You really... He can't fucking think. I should mention that I'm twice your bloody age. Oh, I know, Arthur says seriously. It's really, really hot. Eames swats him. Arthur just grins and holds on, settling his head onto his shoulder. When I did it, I felt so open. He stutters when Eames slips his hand through the soft mop of his hair, kissing his temple this time. You think I don't know what I want, but I do. I didn't say, you're a doctor, Arthur interrupts impatiently. It's your job, I know. Lightly, he touches the phoenix tattoo on Eames's arm, half visible from under his sleeve. I'm not stupid. I mean, my mom trusts me, and I always make the honor roll. If it makes you feel better, I'm actually really, really boring most of the time. It's not like I'm going up to random guys and asking them to chain me up and spank me. It's an unfortunate example, because now the only thing Eames can do is picture it in great detail. But suppose I wanted that. Not everyone thinks the way you do. Not everyone's going to have the same intentions. I trust you anyway, Arthur says, casual, giving a curious tug at the neck of his shirt and ducking to press his lips to the swirl of ink he reveals. How old were you when you kissed another guy? His hand is perilously close to resting on Eames's groin. 13. I was 13 and we were drinking his gram's cooking sherry. We thought we were kings of criminality. And you? Arthur's smile is hot against his throat. I was almost 18. He was my doctor. No, Eames wants to say. I can't have been the first. I didn't. But Arthur, as if sensing the need for distraction, is sighing into his mouth and moaning softly, pressing a hand between his own spread thighs. I really don't want you feeling bad about anything. I didn't give you much of a choice. There's always a choice. I was in a position of authority, and I abused it. Fine. Arthur actually rolls his eyes, adolescence at its finest. I pardon you. Is that what you want? Besides, he grumbles, it's not like I was right to do what I did either. That, Eames says, is completely different. So you never did anything that crazy when you were in high school? Oh, all that and more, Eames admits glibly. He has a hand on Arthur's bony knee, feeling the burn of his skin where it's bared through artfully shredded denim. Arthur gives another tiny sigh, mouth innocently slipping open as his fingers drift far less innocently over the front of his jeans. And Eames is once again reminded that the age of consent may be 16 in some states, but he should never have acted so rashly with anyone who was his patient. And this one has barely been legal for 24 hours. You eat pepperoni? He asks, too abrupt, taking his hand off Arthur and reaching for his phone. Arthur looks at him with calm brown eyes. You know what I eat. You know my blood type, my middle name, and whatever other shit you learned every time I had an appointment. Those thin hands touch him, over his forearm, his knee. I think you know more about me than most people. Eames finds that rather sad, but he knows better than to say so. Instead, he ushers Arthur back to the couch and orders pizza. Arthur stares at him exasperatedly the entire time, but Eames does it anyway, and then flees to the kitchen for Gatorade, since milk seems insulting and beer is out of the question. Then he realizes ordering pizza just means waiting for it to arrive. By the time he returns to the living room, Arthur is stretched out on the sofa. He's shed both his shoes and his hoodie. The t-shirt underneath is gray and looks like it's about a size too small, which Eames wonders is deliberate or happenstance, and he's eyeing the armchair like he's prepared to set it on fire if Eames so much as considers sitting there. Eames is prepared to settle back down in the chair anyway, a last-ditch effort at keeping a safe distance between them, but he hardly has the chance to take another step before Arthur latches onto him and kisses him thoroughly. I really, Eames informs him, Really don't need any pizza. Then tell me what you do need, Eames says, mind a whirl as Arthur's hips push against his own. Making sure he's got his wits about him is practically impossible, even without Arthur pressing his lips to the corner of his mouth and trying to draw him back onto the couch. Go on, tell me. That seems to catch Arthur rather off guard. I don't, he falters, and his brow furrows uncertainly. Then Eames threads his fingers through his hair again. His eyes slide closed, and he nestles almost chastely into the touch without seeming to notice he does it at all. Anything, Arthur admits softly, which gives Eames both everything and nothing to work with. More, anything you want, just keep going. Slowly, Eames spreads his fingers to cup the back of Arthur's head, steadying him as he carefully kisses over the pulse point on the side of his neck. Is this all right, then?
Yeah.
There's a little quaver in his voice as Eames noses higher, finally letting himself inhale the scent of him. The second you're uncomfortable, or even begin to think you want to stop, tell me, any time at all. He forces himself to draw back and give Arthur some time for this to sink in. Clear? Arthur nods fervently, but all Eames can think of is the exam room, how Arthur had pushed the limit at every opportunity, and how terrible Eames had been at stopping it. You too, Arthur says then, and Eames wonders if he's remembering the same thing. Deal. Eames sinks down beside him, and Arthur's arms come around him right away, pulling him close. At first, Arthur is content with nothing more than this, pressing them together as much as possible and uttering delicious little hums each time Eames kisses him. He doesn't seem quite sure what to do with his hands, initially alternating between splaying them flat to Eames's shoulders and curling them around to the back of his neck. Then he goes in for the kill, reaching to take one of Eames's and guide it along the stretch of his thigh. Eames lets him, smoothing over tight-drawn denim until the line of Arthur's erection is hot under his hand and Arthur is tense and wriggling as Eames touches him there. His head dips forward, wet open mouth nudging kisses against his jaw, and Eames can feel the way the breath shudders out of him. He ends up with Arthur practically on top of him, warm and kissing and breathing hard, clasping Eames's hand in place between his legs so he can cup and squeeze and rub, and Eames's erection is pressing thick and hard against him, no way to hide it, with Arthur boldly pressing the heel of his hand there with a pleased little moan. Then he's sliding his other hand up under Arthur's shirt, not waiting for Arthur to make the first move this time, palming the smooth skin of his back, grazing his stomach. Arthur's body arches for him immediately, and Eames drinks it in, feeling the liveness of musculature shifting, the daintiness of a perked nipple, playing with it as Arthur's neck arches, pale and bare, and a perfect canvas for kisses. He has his mouth open, too wrapped up in the moment to bother with touching Eames in return, looking so utterly debauched already and making small sounds like he can't figure out how to form words anymore. Talk to me, Eames urges, not wanting him to get lost, not sure he's above getting lost himself. Don't change your mind and make me leave, Arthur blurts out, breath stuttering when Eames pinches cautiously at the nipple he's been exploring. I will if you tell me to, but I won't, Eames promises, reckless enough to mean it. Not quite reckless enough to tell Arthur he's thought of him like this too many times, too many ways. He's beautiful, in his worn jeans and his shirt riding up his middle, hair a little longer and messier than it was the last time they met, stormy eyes and finely curving lips, and Eames knows the shape of his body beneath those folds of cotton. Knows what it feels like to have this boy stripped bare and climaxing under him. He did his best not to think about it, even though he'd been doing far more forward things when he was Arthur's age and younger. He has to hand it to Arthur for daring to show his face at all. It feels like it lasts a long time, just kissing and touching and being amazed by how responsive Arthur is to even the smallest contact. Eames doesn't realize just how torturous this must be for Arthur until he goes writhing up against him, voice breaking as he tries to work his way free of his shirt. I need... Eames helps him back into a sitting position and tries not to let on that his brain just came treacherously close to short-circuiting. Shh, let's get this off you then, yeah? He doesn't wait for a verbal reply before stripping it off, smoothing both hands down his sides, his cheeks, letting Arthur nip at his fingers as he maneuvers him, so Arthur's seated between his legs, with his back to Eames's chest. Why did you really come here? Don't say it was because of cupcakes. Because I wanted to see you, Arthur answers. Like it's just that simple. Like it's not a big deal at all that he's ensconced in Eames's lap, with Eames touching the pale bare expanse of his torso, letting Arthur pull his hand to splay over his groin a second time. It's enough to have Arthur curving up and uttering a quiet whine, but doesn't prevent him from turning, just enough to face Eames. He's flushed to the roots of his hair. And because I really want you to fuck me. It takes a few seconds for Eames to find his voice. Remember, anything you aren't okay with. Do I seem like I'm not okay with this? Eames looks him dead in the eye and starts undoing his jeans. Fuck, Arthur whispers, and his head drops back. Eames is slow about it, still allowing time for reconsideration, even as he's drawing him out, peeling back the wet cloth of his boxers, and feeling the way Arthur's stomach tenses under his other hand. Then he bucks his hips into Eames's grasp, and there's nothing slow about anything anymore. Arthur doesn't seem capable of suppressing anything, mouth slack, cock so slick and hard in Eames's grip as he strokes over him, wraps his fingers around all that heat and savors it. He's never touched him like this, not without a rubber glove and the most clinical of dispositions. And he whimpers, face to the ceiling and pleading little sounds spilling out of him, and Eames is riding his prick against him without even realizing it, hard and shameless as Arthur fucks his fist, his tight little arse squirming in Eames's lap. He won't take long, not with how worked up he is already. Eames can't believe he's held out as long as he has. Christ, Arthur, you... Please! It seems so surreal that it doesn't register at first when Arthur grips at his thigh and begs him. Please, fuck, you're gonna make me come, I'm so... I know, Eames tells him, and kisses his cheek. Show me. Oh! Exhales Arthur. And he comes that way, almost on command, with his jeans and pants caught around his hips, and Eames holding him through it, letting him tremble through the aftershocks. Then he smiles, sinking bonelessly into Eames's arms with a soft groan, and somehow managing to seem pure as the driven snow, even though he's practically naked, with cum streaking his middle. You, he declares, a bit muzzly, as if lounging across Eames's lap is all he can handle just now. You smell really good. Eames shrugs that off, eyes stuttering when Arthur twists around and his fingers go hooking into his waistband. I had a shower at the gym, so I probably smell considerably better than you used to. Almost anything is an improvement on doctor's office soap and latex gloves. No, that's not it, Arthur says decisively, picking at his shirt, pushing it up, looking at more tattoos with undisguised fascination. Never seen you wearing anything like this. It's cool. He touches inquisitively at a nipple, laughing when Eames twitches, then takes it upon himself to start drawing down the zip on Eames's jeans. I want to touch you too, okay? Of course, this is when the doorbell rings. Eames all but falls over himself, trying to neaten up enough to answer the door without looking like a complete miscreant. Arthur seems to find it all hilarious. It hits Eames like a hammer to the face just how serious this situation is, when he brings in the pizza and Arthur, in spite of being a teenage boy, ignores it entirely. Arthur seems far more intent in scooping up his t-shirt and wiping himself clean, while Eames sets the box on the kitchen table and goes back to him. I'm not going to be able to get you to eat a bite, am I? No, Arthur admits, tossing the shirt aside. But I like that you at least tried to buy me dinner first. First. Eames is ready to protest that, but Arthur makes for an excellent distraction by grinning at him and twisting out of the rest of his clothes. humming when Eames's hand drifts over the curve of his arse and gives a cautious little squeeze. In response, Arthur trails his fingers over Eames's stomach, working his way down until he's toying at him through his jeans. He's reaching to pop open the button when Eames grips his wrist and sits back down like a sack of bricks. "That you, Arthur, listen, it's not..." Arthur frowns. "You're going to need to take care of that sooner or later," he points out. And then he's crawling onto him all over again, pink flushed and riding down on Eames's thigh, even though he just came. Naked and shameless and perfect, Eames would love to lay him down and touch him everywhere, give him every pleasure he can. But Arthur strokes a hand up under his shirt, Eames's pulse throbbing against his palm, and then goes sinking to the carpet between Eames's spread knees before Eames can work out exactly what he's supposed to say at this juncture. The zipper gleams between Arthur's pale fingers. "Can I see?" 18, but just barely, and sounding so fucking small, even though his voice is vibrating against Eames's thigh. Nuzzling there, pressing his cheek to the bulge in Eames's jeans, and trembling deliciously when Eames's fingers twine their way through his hair. Young and vulnerable and eager. Would do whatever Eames let him, and that's fucking terrifying, even though Eames is nodding for him to go on. And Arthur is drawing open his flies and murmuring, "You're really hard," which is most certainly true, but he sounds a little surprised, like he's amazed with himself for having this kind of effect on Eames at all. "You've got foreskin." There's an adorably perplexed look on his face, but Eames knows better than to laugh. "I do, yeah," sighing when Arthur plays over it with curious fingers, tracing inside the opening. "It doesn't hurt, right?" Eames allows himself a smile, since Arthur's gaze is still absorbedly downcast. "No more than it hurts when you touch yourself." Arthur hesitates. "I want to try and..." He wants to suck him, Eames realizes with a jolt. Quickly, he lays a hand to Arthur's shoulder to stop him. "I'm in close contact with other people's bodies on a daily basis." It's very hard to sound rational and cautionary when he can scarcely keep from thrusting into the barest touch of Arthur's hand. Arthur seems wary now. "Did you catch something?" "I didn't say that, but it's a high-risk profession in that way." "So you're clean, Arthur." "Can I?" he asks again, and Eames's hand clenches over the curve of his shoulder. He's guarded at first, uncertainty permeating every touch, slim fingers repeatedly drawing the delicate skin back and then forward, until Eames's hips are arching. Then and only then does Arthur seem to content himself with the fact that Eames was telling the truth. The first tentative lap of his tongue has Eames choking back a curse. Arthur takes what feels like ages, suckling carefully at his foreskin, letting his tongue ease inside to trace the tip of Eames's erection while it's still covered. Sliding it back, then, curling his tongue over the exposed head and pursing his lips around him, sucking loud and wet. He seems a little taken aback at how crude it sounds and pulls off for a moment, then apparently decides to compensate by trying to swallow, but just ends up having a coughing fit and swiping at his eyes. Eames can't even feel guilty for finding him beautiful then, thinking not for the first time of how much he'd love to fuck Arthur's throat until he cries for him, then kiss his tears away and slip fingers up inside him until he cries out with desire instead. "Shit, sorry!" Eames strokes his head, his nape. "You're learning. That's all right. Here." He reaches to help draw him off the floor. "Up you get." "Look, I've seen enough porn to do better than this," Arthur says, shaking him off and sounding awfully prim considering the situation. "Let me try again." "There's no need to just jump right in. Take it slow. You don't have to try everything at once." Arthur scowls at him, practically pouting. "Come on, I want to keep going." "I know you do, but I don't want you hurting yourself somehow." "I'd be doing fine if you didn't keep stopping and commenting." "Don't be stroppy," says Eames mildly. "Don't be what?" Arthur demands. Then he's frowning and whipping out his phone, which is one of the strangest things Eames has ever seen anyone do while kneeling naked between his legs. "What in the world are you doing?" Arthur cuts a glance at him. UrbanDictionary.com. "And I am not stroppy." "Life-threateningly inquisitive, then." That seems to make Arthur wilt around the edges. "Sorry I'm not good at it. It's not like I can do this with anyone at school. I keep thinking I can go uphill after I graduate, though. Maybe in college no one gives a shit if you're a fag who can't even..." "Hey," Eames interjects. "There's no need to say things like that about yourself. Come here." This time, Arthur goes willingly when Eames takes him back into his arms. It's strangely non-sexual, considering he's stark naked and there's no way to miss the redness of his mouth. "Is it really that bad for you?" Eames asks gently. Arthur shakes his head. "Not too many people know. I'm not proud of it. It's just easier." Eames has a fierce urge to stroke him and kiss him and swear to him everything will be fine. "No one's got the right to make you feel like you're less of a human." He feels a bit like he's giving yet another exam room speech to yet another confused kid who hasn't quite figured himself out. Eames can't put the comparison out of his head fast enough. "You don't have to take any cheek from anyone." "Did you?" "I did a lot of punching when I was your age," Eames confesses. "But I don't recommend that either. I also wasn't very bright when I was your age." "You turned out pretty okay, though," Arthur says matter-of-factly. He tilts his head for another kiss, and Eames gives it to him, lapping the taste of himself from his mouth until Arthur's breathing is ragged and he's grinding against him, ready to come the second time, fuck, and seeming almost awed when he finally gets Eames's shirt off. "I kept counting down until my birthday and almost didn't come, but I had to see you." He drags one fingernail in an experimental line down the center of Eames's chest, words half muffled when he leans in to kiss the pale pink mark it leaves in its wake. "Had to make sure you were all right." "Arthur, I'm fine." "No," Arthur says firmly, "you're not. You got all weird about corrupting me or being unprofessional or whatever, but I don't care. I'm glad it happened. And, I mean, I'm not glad you freaked out, but that's normal. I'd be more worried if you didn't, since I'd be wondering if you made a habit of feeling up your patients." He's tomato red, and Eames is certain he's well on his way to matching. "Christ, of course not." Eames doesn't generally prefer partners more than a few years younger than he is, leaning towards older ones half the time as it is. Arthur is an anomaly in more ways than he knows, and Eames intends to keep it that way. "None of them have ever been quite like you, thank God." Arthur snorts. "What am I?" "You're lovely," Eames says, without a moment's hesitation, drawing him close and slamming the door on the part of his brain still reprimanding him for not turning Arthur away the second he woke him. "You're smart and determined, and you don't let anything stand in your way, and there's a fair chance you'll be the death of me." The smile Arthur gives him lights up the room. It has Eames's pulse thrumming triple time, has him yearning to bury his face between those pale thighs and make him sob with delight, to learn everything that makes him feel good. He kisses him lightly, throwing what remains of his caution to the winds and hoping like hell his heartbeat doesn't drown out his words. "Whatever you like, just ask. I'd prefer it if you didn't kill me too soon, is all." "Even if I'm asking you to take me upstairs and do awful things to me?" Arthur's voice is hushed, lips velvet soft at his ear. "I'll sign a consent form if it makes you feel better. Just say you will." And without even making an effort to curb his impulse, Eames does. Actually getting upstairs, on the other hand, does end up taking some effort. There are clothes on the floor and curious hands on bare skin, and Arthur seems to think he's being helpful by clarifying what kind of awful things he has in mind. "Just your fingers, if that's all you're okay with, but anything, seriously, just do something." It all makes walking in a straight line almost impossible, but the bathroom is mercifully close to the top of the stairs, and Arthur has no qualms at all about being herded against the doorframe. Eventually, Eames manages to actually step through the door and pull open a drawer, thinking of stopping in the bathroom for more than just fetching supplies, of making Arthur watch his own beautiful reflection as Eames bends him over the counter and starts repairing him. But bed is better for the first time, more safe and comfortable, and Eames isn't about to lose sight of just how important it is to keep Arthur comfortable. Arthur follows him, seeming almost too dazed to move, even though his prick is flush dark and straining wet against his stomach. Eames presses against him from behind, one hand resting on his belly, smoothing up and back. Still all right? His eyes are huge as he regards the juxtaposition of their reflections. You have a lot of muscles. It's so candid that Eames doesn't quite succeed in stifling a laugh. It's a good thing. Arthur elbows him without any actual malice and turns, kissing him there in front of the sink, lips soft and swollen. Eames can't keep from stealing glances at them in the mirror. He notices Arthur doing the same, right up until Eames hefts him, bare-arsed, onto the counter, and then those slim legs are instantly locking around his waist, Arthur's cock nudging at him insistently. When Eames draws back, strokes him, he expects Arthur to bound off his perch and start looking for Eames's bedroom. But Arthur only brings up his heels, planting them on the edge of the counter, and whimpering when Eames lets a dry fingertip glance over his exposed little arsehole. His stomach is taut, body anxiously clenching up even tighter in response. The fingers of one hand are idly pinching at one tiny nipple, the other playing over his cock, and Eames watches obligingly. Arthur scarcely seems to realize he has an audience at all, uttering a surprised groan when Eames rubs a fingertip over the head of his erection, entreating Arthur to suck the taste of himself off his finger, lapping up his own wetness, slicking them just enough to let the tip of his finger push inside when Eames touches him again. And Arthur whines and spreads for him as much as he can, bucking and trying to draw him in, even though it's not nearly enough yet. Please, please. Eames kisses his forehead. Not yet, darling. You're all closed up. He keeps his eyes on Arthur's face as he lubricates a finger, and this time actually inserts it, slowly, which has Arthur's eyes fluttering closed and his cock pulsing out another stream of precum. Christ, he must be close. I'm going to take my time with you, Eames promises, in a voice gone too soft, too hoarse. We'll have you so open and ready, you won't even hurt. You'll take me right in. He can't believe the things he's saying to him, but Arthur seems to love it, twisting down onto his finger and smiling crookedly. Lie back, relax, and I won't feel a thing, right, doctor? I didn't say that. Trust me, you'll feel it. Eames gives his shoulder a nip. And don't call me that. He's not above whisking him off the counter and physically carrying him into the bedroom, but Arthur gets there first and sprawls on the bed as soon as Eames points them toward the correct doorway. He watches intently when Eames drops the lube and condoms onto the mattress, eyes tracking the movement of his hands as he takes one. If you're so responsible, you should know better than to assume the other guy is going to take care of everything, Eames tells him, jabbering on to hide the fact that he's having a terrible time tearing the wrapper open. Always bring your own, just in case. This really, really isn't the time for a lecture, Arthur says, and he sprawls out, legs spread indecently. He's entertained thoughts of spending an agonizingly long time opening Arthur's body to him, making him come again and again till he can barely stand it, then having Arthur ride down onto him until he's shaking, until he's crying for Eames to fuck him hard and fill him up just the way he needs. Arthur doesn't deserve that sort of torment, but Eames has no intention of rushing through any of this. He starts by prodding along the perineum and making Arthur writhe. Fuck, and the last time they met, Arthur didn't even know what that part of him was called. Slender legs splaying open further, feeling him bear down and take him in when Eames presses with a slick fingertip between the cleft of his arse, until the delicate clutch of muscle relents and lets him slip in. He's so tight it's enough to have Eames groaning right along with him, almost searing hot and shuddering around Eames's finger as if he's burning up from the inside. stroking until he grazes his prostate, kissing his damp forehead when Arthur gasps and grips his cock firmly at the root. Good, well done. Can you take another? Would you rather do it yourself? Arthur frantically shakes his head. No, need you to. Like the way it feels, you're better. Hush, over for me. There you are. Eames pulls back and positions him bent on elbows and knees, eyes eating up every centimeter of him from his narrow shoulders to his pert little arse, pale skin still smooth and unblemished, all of him so eager to spread and bend and be taken. It's nothing at all like seeing him in the exam room. It'll be better this way, I promise. Arthur's thighs are still parted widely enough that he can see it all, tight balls and slick open-closed movement of his whole, as if he's trying to pull something inside him, even now. Mouth parting, lashes brushing pink cheeks, Eames watches as his fingers disappear inside him once again, so responsive to everything. Then Arthur whimpers, and Eames stops right away. Are you okay? I can't see you like this, Arthur says simply. It was better before. Is it okay if... Eames doesn't give him enough time to finish, just lays him out on his back and maps him with his hands and mouth all over again, daring to slip his mouth over the dark fleshed head of his cock this time, and sucking for as long as Arthur allows, which isn't very. Only a few seconds in, and he's crying out and wriggling and nearly spilling over Eames's lips, but not hesitant at all about pushing into a sitting position and kissing the remnants of himself away, whispering, "Sorry, sorry," into Eames's mouth. "Don't ever apologize for something like that," Eames murmurs, and lays him back down. There's no need at all. Together, they slide Arthur's knees over his shoulders until he's nearly bent double, blushing and writhing there on his back. It feels like you're just looking. Oh, Eames says, I am. And he touches, there where he's slick and pink and still so tight, yielding just a bit when he presses at it, unable to look away from Arthur's erection, smearing his belly with dampness. You're such a pretty sight like this. Can't I look at you? Stroking with his clean hand at the downy little hairs at the nape of his neck, drifting over his soft, smooth cheeks and delicately tight nipples, and Arthur keens when Eames fucks him with two fingers, slowly. I don't know if I can... There's a desperate note to his voice. It's all right. If you come again, you'll last longer the next time. Arthur's so overwhelmed that the last thing he needs is Eames pressuring him to hold out even more than he has already. He slicks Arthur's hand, urges him to add a finger of his own, setting a rhythm as they open him up together, leaving him stretched and reddened and glistening when they pull out. Are you ready? Even now, knees at his red-rimmed ears and hands splayed on Eames's back, Arthur still manages to look at him like he's lost his mind. Want it? Yeah, please, just fuck me. Stop asking questions. Eames chuckles and pushes his hips forward. The sound that comes out of Arthur's mouth is positively filthy. Arthur doesn't stop, splayed out for him on the sheets, trembling and taking him in, a hand still tight around his cock as Eames fills him up with his own. His face is screwed up in pain at first, and Eames kisses every part of it he can reach, mumbling praises at him and not daring to move, even though his entire body feels ready to quake into pieces. But then the pleasure kicks in, and he's telling Eames to please give him more, to do it harder. Eames doesn't heed him right away, drawing it out, letting him learn the feel of having someone inside him. Gradually, he does give Arthur what he's asking for, and Arthur's hands twist in his hair as all manner of obscenities twist their way out of his throat. God, you're beautiful, Eames whispers at one point, and Arthur may not even hear him at all, lost in a hot slur of, oh my God, and please, and fuck, there, there. On the exam table, he had been pleading for a kiss when he was about to come, something to smother him because he didn't trust himself to keep quiet. This time, Eames isn't having it. He's scarcely finished saying, let me hear you when you come, When Arthur's head thrashes back on the pillows and his cock throbs in Eames's fist, streaking his fingers with white. He nearly misses it when his own orgasm sneaks up on him. When he collapses on top of the covers, he has just enough presence of mind not to crush Arthur in the process. Eames reaches for him blindly, and Arthur comes, shifting over him, kissing him, settling in. "You did so well," Eames praises him, feels Arthur's skinny form give a jolt. "So well," Eames says again, and wraps his arms around him. For a long time they stay that way, Arthur a warm, constant weight on top of him, squirming as Eames's hands trail over his body. "That," Arthur finally says dreamily, "was fucking awesome." He could happily spend the rest of the night doing nothing but lying there, drowsing and petting over him, but Eames makes himself come back down to earth anyway. "Your mum isn't going to miss you?" "Got my phone. If she tries the house line, I'll tell her I had my headphones on or something." "You need to check in tomorrow morning, then," Eames tells him, reluctantly extricating himself, just enough to discreetly dispose of the condom. "Fair enough?" "Yeah." Stretching, smiling when Eames's eyes follow the arch of his spine. "You could have just sent me home right away. Thanks for not doing that." Arthur kisses without pretense, eager and sloppy and artlessly sweet. It's more than comfortable enough to fall asleep, but Eames drags Arthur up despite his protests, gets a spare toothbrush and washcloth for him in the bathroom, and tells him in no uncertain terms to clean up. No one wants their first morning after to be a disgusting one, and Eames is still a doctor, even in his off hours. "Trust me, you'll be glad of it later." Then he's wiping down Arthur's stomach, having him part his legs so he can reach there too. He doesn't comment on the flush that spreads over his cheeks, but he also notes that Arthur doesn't stop him and insists on doing it himself. Once he has Arthur spread out in bed a second time, only his legs covered by the sheet, Eames watches him for a long while before letting himself touch his back, his hip, the crest of his arse. He's positive that Arthur's fallen asleep, but then Arthur turns to face him, smiling without opening his eyes. "You called me darling in the exam room before we kissed the first time." He remembers. It was out of line, but everything he's done with Arthur has been out of line. Arthur snuggles in more closely. "And in the bathroom, too. No one's ever called me anything like that. No one I'm not related to, I mean. It was nice." Eames's heart is melting, but he still feels the uncertainty creeping back into his bones, oily and insidious. "It was nice," Arthur repeats sleepily. Eames squeezes his hand. "Get some rest." "You said whatever I want, right? I don't want you thinking you did anything wrong. And I don't want to wake up alone." If Eames has learned one thing, it's to trust that Arthur has his head on straight enough to understand the gravity of this thing between them, whatever it is. For now, they're sleeping through the night with Arthur curled up beside him and cold pizza waiting in the kitchen, and maybe, just for now, Eames doesn't need to concern himself with anything more than that. So Eames kisses his head, wraps around him. "You won't." The end. Plaignance by Recrudescence, read by Sophie Nisba. Pairing Arthur Eames, rating NC-17. Author's note: this is a follow-up to Sickness and Shame and Prognosis. All fix occur in an AU in which Eames is Arthur's pediatrician. Arthur is 17 in the first fic, 18 in the others. Contains medical kink, a couple references to BDSM, and a little bit of awkward daddy kink. Neither the author nor the podficker actually advocates pediatrician-on-patient action. "Explain this," is the first thing Eames says when he comes into the exam room. Arthur only shrugs. He's trying hard to seem casual, that much is obvious, But Eames is sure he's trying even harder to ignore the guilt swelling in his stomach. Under all his bravado, Arthur is very much still just a boy who wants to make a good impression. I don't feel well. Eames narrows his eyes and fixes him with a look that might lead to something much more interesting than a lecture, if they were anywhere but here, and if he wasn't well on his way to being exceedingly pissed off. We agreed that work hours are off limits. I know you didn't forget that. I'm not even your doctor anymore. Sitting with his legs dangling off the side of the exam table, Arthur studies the toes of his trainers. My insurance is still the same, and I'm not switching to a GP until I'm in college, so actually... You already had your physical for the year, Eames says sharply. We discussed this, Arthur. This isn't a game. Arthur just blinks up at him, as if he has no clue he's playing with fire just by showing his face. Which he does, of course. If there's one thing Eames has come to know about Arthur, it's that he's smart as a whip and infinitely more dangerous. More so now than ever, since he's obviously decided to ignore the part of their deal that forbids bringing Eames's work life into this. Yeah, but I haven't seen you for almost 2 weeks. I needed to... And he trails off, seeming to slump in on himself a bit. Eames slips a hand around to the back of his neck without even thinking about it. Hey, none of that. He rubs slightly, cupping the warmth there, feeling the softness of kiss curls at Arthur's nape. Arthur leans into the touch right away, pliant and perfect, and Eames can't resist pressing a quick kiss to his temple. His resistance always seems to crumble around Arthur, which is exactly why Arthur can't go waltzing in for a visit whenever the whim hits him. I've missed you too, sweetheart. Don't think I haven't. But you can't stay here. I know, grumbles Arthur, and then his wiry arms are around Eames's middle, and his face is buried in the crook of his neck, and Eames isn't a big enough bastard to make him let go. Their interactions really have been limited lately, since Arthur's been swamped with schoolwork, and Eames has been swamped with victims of flu season. Just wanted to see you. His voice is a soft sigh against Eames's jaw. It's silly that hearing it makes his heart give a little leap. They aren't an actual couple, not by any stretch of the imagination, and they've been over that. But there are times when Eames thinks their arrangement is something Arthur truly, honestly needs. At least with Eames in the picture, he isn't looking for it elsewhere. Even now, even though he's supposed to be annoyed with Arthur, Eames wants to keep his hands on him, strip him out of his pullover and jeans, and put his mouth on every delicious inch of him. He settles for thumbing the lock on the door and stroking down his cheek and throat until the collar of Arthur's shirt gets in the way. There's a cut on the underside of his chin, evidence that Arthur's been stubbornly shaving, even though he can easily get away with not doing it on a daily basis, his cheeks still baby smooth even by the end of the day. Eames envies him that a little, since he always seems to sprout 5 o'clock shadow almost as soon as he sets his razor down. One of Arthur's hands plucks at the back of his lab coat when Eames presses his lips to that little red mark. You look really hot in this, by the way. Flattery, Eames says, isn't getting you anywhere. There's no point in trying to sound stern while he's nosing into Arthur's hair and wrapping his arms around him, so he doesn't bother. To a casual viewer, it would look like a chaste, albeit ill-timed, embrace, even though Eames is intensely aware that Arthur's hips are shoving against his a little too hard to be entirely platonic. It's only a matter of seconds before Arthur's skinny legs are trying to twine around him, and Eames is ready to bear him down onto the table, spread his thighs, and suck him until he sobs, which is exactly why he extricates himself while he can. You really should go. Arthur grimaces, but he's nodding. I won't do it again, I promise, but I really need to... Eames lays a finger across his lips, removing it before Arthur can dart his tongue across the tip. Let me tell you what you need to do. You're going to go home to your mother and get yourself something to eat. You're going to get a start on the sodding history project you've been putting off. And in exactly 3 hours, you're going to be in my bed. Then you'll help me find out just exactly what's making you feel so out of sorts. Are we clear on this? Yeah, Arthur says, looking delighted and adorable, trying to latch on to him all over again. Eames kisses his forehead, doesn't dare kiss him on the mouth, since he won't want to stop, and it doesn't take more than a few good kisses for Arthur to start to come unraveled. This. He drops his voice to a whisper and cups a hand over the front of Arthur's jeans, allowing himself one last touch. You leave for me. Are we clear on that as well? It's immensely gratifying to see Arthur speechless for once. Arthur might not be particularly extroverted, but he isn't afraid to go straight for the throat. The morning after he spent the night for the first time, he wandered naked into the bathroom and then came padding right back out all of 3 seconds later, claiming he couldn't figure out how to operate the shower, and could Eames please help him? And Eames had sighed and gotten in with him, soaped him up and jerked him off, and let Arthur melt against him as he washed his hair, then taken him back to bed. He'd been able to draw at least one line, since Arthur had been pleading to be fucked again, but Eames didn't want his memory of his first time to be a painful one. Arthur had grudgingly settled for letting Eames finger fuck him, even though he was sore from the previous night, squirming and panting and swearing all the while he liked everything Eames did to him, and never thought he'd get to have any of it. Eames had seriously thought of throwing caution to the winds and licking up into him instead, bending Arthur's knees up over his head and forcing his tongue into the pink clean little hole. The rest of Arthur's visits have had a similar theme to them. By contrast, his dealings with Arthur over the last couple weeks have been limited to text messages about how senior year is kicking his arse, and, on one occasion, a phone call that ended with Arthur getting himself off in a study carol in his school library. The poor thing really does deserve a break. At the end of the day, Eames takes his lab coat with him when he leaves. It's due for a trip to the cleaners anyway. When Eames arrives home, Arthur seems to have situated himself quite comfortably in his bed, barefoot but otherwise fully dressed. There's a pair of ludicrously large headphones over his ears, a MacBook in his lap, a few textbooks spread out on either side of him, and he looks for all the world like he actually lives there. Once again, it occurs to Eames that he's let Arthur take advantage of his spare key so often, he might as well let him keep it for his own. But that conversation, like many others, is best left for a later time. The headphones mean Arthur doesn't even notice Eames until he's practically at the foot of the bed. Listening to anything good there? Eames doesn't know why he even bothers asking, since Arthur unfailingly informs him that he won't have heard of it, and he's just as unfailingly correct. This time, Arthur doesn't answer him at all, just sits bolt upright with his eyes flying wide open and whips off his headphones like they're on fire. I have to say, Eames continues, I'm a little amazed you kept your clothes on. Arthur is staring at him with some undisguised amazement of his own. Eames took the liberty of bringing a few other things along when he slipped back into the lab coat, and it feels a bit odd to be all kitted out like this in his bedroom. He's not sure if the stethoscope around his neck is a bit much, but it's already there, and he's determined to run with it. Didn't trust myself to take him off and not... Without breaking eye contact, Arthur waves a hand in the general direction of his groin. That seemed like a bad idea. Wise decision. Eames reaches, stroking his back, squeezing his nape. You listen so well. He's tried this before, setting small conditions to see if Arthur obeys. Arthur seems to like it, though Eames isn't sure he's aware of this. Come here now. You've been waiting long enough. And Arthur clambers on his knees to the end of the bed and kisses him, fingers winding into his hair and moans already trying to rush out from his mouth, all wound up just from this. He doesn't seem to be complaining about the stethoscope or anything else, his breathing deep and eyes dark. The school supplies can't get relegated to the night table fast enough. Where does it hurt? Eames says softly, passing a hand over Arthur's heated forehead once he's made his way round to the side of the bed and coaxed him into sitting back down. Arthur uncurls his hand from Eames's tie, sinking into a sitting position with a sigh. Everywhere. He draws a glove from his pocket, starts pulling it on, and Arthur frowns. Really? You're not my only patient today, Eames says firmly. Open your mouth for me, he urges, working a finger between Arthur's teeth and pressing down with it the way he would a tongue depressor. Arthur's tongue flutters against it, hot even through the latex. Eames adds another, deftly taking the penlight from his other pocket and shining it with his free hand. Arthur gives a muffled sound of surprise. You look just fine here. No inflammation of any sort. No pain? Uh-uh, Arthur says once his mouth is free again. He's already flushed all down his neck, as quick to respond as ever. He has a lovely mouth, both aesthetically and medically speaking, pink and healthy in all parts where they should be. Eames could spend, has spent, ages just curled up with him and kissing it. He does nothing of the sort just now, instead shifting up until he's kneeling behind Arthur on the bed. Tell me at any time if something feels painful, please. It's standard exam room chatter, nothing he hasn't said to 1,000 patients without a second thought, but heat rockets through his body all the same. The first time he ever made Arthur come was during a routine exam, and now he's deliberately perverting that even more. Eames grits his teeth and judiciously undoes his topmost shirt button. Arthur, oblivious, just wriggles back against him until the warm line of his back is flush with Eames's front. When Eames switches out his penlight for an otoscope, Arthur twists round to stare at him, looking rather impressed and also rather like he's waiting for a full-grown kangaroo to spring out of Eames's pockets next. Eames casually cups the side of his face with one gloved hand, eases the tip of the scope into his ear with the other. He doesn't bother visualizing, though he does give the lobe a brief tug when he's done. I'm going to need you to keep your face forward, please. Other side now. There's a good lad. Surprisingly, Arthur doesn't object to being called a lad. Eames sets the otoscope aside when he's done and starts massaging Arthur's temples, scalp, ascertaining there are no nodes or bumps, no evident sebaceous cysts when Eames glides the tip of his fingers behind Arthur's ears. Nice and smooth. That's just as it should be. His assessment of Arthur's lymph nodes turns into more of a spur-of-the-moment neck massage as he feels over the positions of them, stroking down his sternocleidomastoids, his throat, feeling Arthur's pulse throbbing under the pads of his fingers. Almost immediately, Arthur's body starts relaxing back against him even more. Eames leans forward to check and finds that his eyes are closed and his cheeks are flooded with pink. When Arthur speaks, his voice is low and sounds a little dazed. Don't know what you're doing, but it feels nice. Means you're normal, that's all. Letting his fingers knead over the posterior cervical nodes for an especially long time, tracing the curve of Arthur's nape with his hands the way he so often has with his mouth. If you like it that much, going to med school means you have to get used to touching people in all sorts of ways, and some programs will pay you to be a testing dummy for students looking for bodies to practice on. I don't think so, says Arthur. I've kind of been seeing someone, not sure he'd go for that. Once again, Eames's midsection gives an alarming jump, but if nothing else, he's an expert at keeping his hands steady. Let's see what they're teaching you in school these days. As segues go, it's not the most artful one he's ever uttered, but at least he sounds conversational instead of stunned. Do you know what preauricular means? Latin, pre, before, then auricle, ear, so something before the ears. Lymph nodes? Eames lightly presses them with his index fingers in confirmation. Arthur tilts his head back and smiles cheekily. And that means the posterior auricular would be the ones behind the ears. Clever, Eames praises him, and works his way down the chain of nodes to the base of Arthur's throat, then slips under the neck of his shirt to reach the supraclavicular nodes. If he spends a trifle too long mapping the graceful slant of his collarbone, no one objects. I'm going to listen to your pulse in your neck now. Apologies in advance if this is a little chilly. Which is a lie. Eames hasn't made any effort at all to warm up his stethoscope, and relishes it when a slight shudder ripples up Arthur's spine as the cool metal touches his skin for the first time. Shouldn't I? Arthur's head lolls back against his shoulder, eyes at half-mast. Should I take off my clothes? If you heard everywhere, maybe you shouldn't be doing it by yourself, Eames says reasonably. Arms up. And then he's working Arthur's jumper over his head, undoing the button-down beneath it and divesting him of that as well. For his part, Arthur shimmies out of his jeans and pants in record time, shoving them off to the side and stretching on his back when Eames slides off the bed. Something Eames has picked up on is that Arthur seems to like being naked while Eames is clothed, possibly something about the vulnerability, or having Eames dote on him, which he's happy to do. Eames regularly has to mentally give himself a slap to remember that Arthur's still learning what he likes, but treating him like something precious is one thing he's unreserved about. Seeing Arthur laid out like this is nothing new, but it takes Eames's breath away. The long lines of his body are bare and slim, rosiness patching his skin and his cock curving up towards his stomach, already dampened at the tip. It makes Eames want to touch him everywhere, to tell him he's beautiful. But that isn't in the script. Instead, he inconspicuously presses the end of the stethoscope to the metal bed frame, chilling it again, and then places it directly over one of Arthur's already hard nipples. Arthur grips the blankets and whines. Standing at the side of the bed, ostensibly listening to his pulse, Eames does his best impression of a consummate professional. Ease your breathing if you can. Your heart's beating so fast. Trying, Arthur chokes out, his color high, his hands fluttering to touch whatever they can. Despite the shock, he's still hard, narrow chest rising and falling too fast, lips parted and upturned for a kiss that Eames doesn't give him, not yet. It's been too long since Eames last saw him sprawled out in bed like this. There are only so many times Arthur can stay over, since his mother prefers him home on school nights. I know you are, Eames assures him. You're doing such a good job for me, sweetheart. Deep breath and hold it for me now. There you go. He's deliberately slow about pressing the scope to the four quadrants of Arthur's abdomen, having him draw in a series of deep breaths and watching his stomach press out. Eames wants to kiss it, but sadly, that isn't part of the game just now. Arthur is lean without being bony, and even though no one would ever call him fleshy, he's still substantial enough for Eames to want to bite into him, suck and kiss over the soft portion of flesh below his belly button, until Arthur is whimpering and gripping his hair and trying to force Eames's mouth low enough to suckle his cock instead. He continues his examination, daring to pinch a bit at a nipple, watching as Arthur's cock drips from that alone. There's some tenderness here, isn't there? Do you know the cause of it? Arthur hesitates. Eames lightly brushes a fingertip over the other. Honestly, Arthur. Biting. I wanted it. Eames kisses the little bud of skin to reward him for telling the truth, rubs down his chest and belly. Arthur goes curving into his touch with the litheness of adolescence, effortlessly sensual. They get sore sometimes because I pinch myself there to make it feel like biting, but it's not as good. That gives Eames pause, more so than the fact that he's battling the urge to rut against the side of the bloody bed just to take the edge off. And would you say, is your partner considerate? Cautious, splaying a hand over Arthur's ribs and percussing until the resulting sound is tympanic. He goes through all the correct motions, massaging his middle as if checking the size and placement of his spleen, not sure whether to expect an answer. When he stops touching, Arthur moans in protest, and Eames rushes back his hair. Did that hurt you? Any rebound tenderness? No, it was good. Don't want you to stop. Then he's picking up Eames's hand and placing it back over his navel. His cock spills a stream of pre-cum when Eames resumes rubbing there, more intimately than a typical physical would call for. He doesn't think Arthur's going to answer his earlier question, but then he wets his lips and hazards a glance at Eames. He's great, but sometimes I think he's too careful, like he's worried he'll hurt me or something. But I'd like anything you did to me. I've told him. Does he treat you well? Yeah, always. He's much, much, much older, so maybe it's the good manners of a bygone era. Eam steps out of character long enough to slap the inside of his thigh and mouth the sting away. Really now. Arthur yelps, then seems to recollect his thoughts. But it's always me, you know? He falters when Eames's tongue curls around him. I have to be the one who starts everything. He never does. It's like he doesn't trust himself. Or maybe he doesn't want to. Eames swallows. Maybe he doesn't want you to feel pressured into anything. He's got cuffs. Other stuff, too. The remark seems to come out of nowhere, but Eames can't say he wasn't expecting Arthur to mention this at some point or other. Arthur notices everything. Must have gotten a glimpse sometime while Eames was rummaging for a condom. That, or he's been rummaging through Eames's things himself, which is something they'll have to chat about later. With a droll sort of dignity, Arthur lifts himself up on his elbows. And I really, really want him to use them on me. But I think he might say no if I asked. I think about it a lot. It would be ridiculous for Eames to say he's never once thought about the same thing. That he's not thinking about it now, even though he's been trying to take things slowly and always remain cognizant of Arthur's age. Eames would shoot himself in the foot before dragging Arthur into acts he isn't ready for or has no interest in. He clears his suddenly dry throat and looks Arthur right in the eye, as if he isn't imagining tying him to the bed, isn't imagining fitting a spreader bar between his knobby knees and going down on him for hours until he's shaking and oversensitive and can barely get hard from it and still begging for Eames to make him come just one more time. Interesting. Arthur looks guarded, as if he's trying to gauge whether he's said too much. That he's saying it at all must mean it's been on his mind for some time. And whose fault is that, really? Maybe Eames should have been less protective, should have asked. Tell me more. For the first time, he leans in and steals a kiss from Arthur's lips, brief and comforting. What else has been worrying you? When Arthur doesn't answer right away, Eames occupies himself by drifting touches down his legs, noting absently that he can still detect a strong pulse through his tibialis posterior. Arthur drops back down to the bedding and bends one leg in, exposing himself. Fuck, I don't know. Go on. Eames bends, graces a kiss to the side of his ankle bone. I don't know, Arthur repeats, more vehemently this time. It feels like he's holding back because of me, but he doesn't really have to. He pauses, writhes when Eames touches his scrotum with both gloved hands. Voice catching around a gasp, then deepening again. I even bought a vibrator. Now it's Eames's turn to pause. I haven't tried it out yet because I want him to be the first to use it on me. But I don't know if he'd even want. Trust me, Eames says. He'd want. Arthur stares, deer-like. Oh, shit. Wow. Okay. Eames gives him a cheery smile and swipes a thumb over the head of his cock. Don't be afraid to initiate these conversations. You never know what you might learn. Keep still now, please. To Arthur's credit, he tries. Eames has both thumbs on him now, holding the rest of his cock steady with his fingertips. When he uses his thumbs to draw the slit gently apart, Arthur's entire frame jolts as if he's been shocked. Eames soothes him with all manner of murmured nonsensicalities, pressing him open a bit more, supposedly checking for any irregularities around the tiny opening, and actually marveling at the way Arthur squirms and shudders and drips in response. His flesh is deepening even more, though he seems unaware of how his body goes rigid and his breath goes high and quick. In the little black book of filthy Arthur-related observations Eames stores under a false bottom in a hidden drawer in the back of his mind, he's noted down that Arthur likes being toyed with there, that he likes Eames dragging a fingernail across his slit or teasing at it with the tip of his tongue, would probably be driven mad if Eames were ever to ease something inside him through it. But that isn't a conversation he's ready to have. Might not even be a concept of pleasure Arthur's aware exists at all. Wonderful. He's down to a whisper now, since it seems almost impolite to risk shattering the moment by speaking too loudly. There you go. You look perfectly fine. Arthur just emits a tiny, helpless, keening sound in response. His back is arching, his sharp little hip bones standing out in high relief, and Eames wants to suck and bite them until they're raw, until Arthur is thrashing on the bed and begging for Eames to put his mouth on his cock instead and suck him dry. He's leaking steadily now, a thin line of fluid suspended between the tip of his erection and his belly, and it would be no trouble at all for Eames to dip his head and lick it off. He turns his attention to kneading over the femoral artery instead, letting his fingers rub where Arthur's thigh meets his groin without actually touching his cock. Even though he's stiflingly overheated inside his clothes, and Arthur's garbled litany of please, fuck, please, when Eames takes his tightened scrotum into his hand a second time is no help at all, Eames somehow keeps himself from stepping back long enough to shed the lab coat. God, if you could see yourself. His fingers are still damp from before, sliding easily up the underside of Arthur's cock. He makes a bit of a show of observing how slick they are, and asking Arthur if he's always this wet, which of course he already knows the answer to. Arthur squirms, failing to stifle another whimper. Yeah, can't help it. Spreading his legs, feet to the mattress, hefting his hips up enough for Eames to catch a teasing glimpse of his arsehole. Dr. Eames, please, come on, it hurts! Ludicrously, being called that by Arthur still makes Eames want to hide under the bed, clutching his doctorate for dear life. I know it does, love. I know. Arthur's face is burning everywhere his lips touch it, his mouth opening wantonly for Eames's kisses and promises. We're nearly there. Hold on just a bit longer for me. I know you can. He helps him onto his side to palpate the position of his kidneys, watching the shifting muscles under sweat-beaded skin when Arthur wriggles and tries to hide his face in the covers, only relenting when Eames gives him a brisk tap at the base of his spine. On your feet. What? Arthur says. He sounds blank, like he's sure he must have misheard. There's a damp spot on the duvet from where his erection fleetingly brushed against it, and his eyes are practically all pupil. Eames can only imagine how badly he must want to come. Did you know, Eames inquires conversationally, that most boys your age have only been tested once for scoliosis? That seems to get him back on track. I'm not a boy. 10 years ago, when you were in third grade. Arthur smiles sweetly. Second. Piss off, Eames suggests, and gives him a pinch on one arse cheek. Now touch your damn toes already. It's a disgustingly transparent ploy, having him bend over beside the bed as Eames compliments him on his flexibility and performs a pornographic version of an Adams test. Is this uncomfortable for you? Eames asks, pulling open a drawer and riffling around for the lube. Arthur can't see him, but just the sound is enough to have him trembling. No, his voice breaks. Eames is a terrible person for relishing that. Can I stand now? Of course. Eames flattens a hand against the small of his back, heedless of the way his cock presses against the crest of Arthur's skinny hip. Now spread your legs wide and bend again for me. The first finger inside him makes Arthur's legs shake. Eames keeps a steadying hand on his back and can't say if it's more to help Arthur keep his balance or to help himself stay upright. God, you're so bloody tight. Breathe for me, Arthur. Fuck! Incredibly, Arthur bends even more, legs planted firmly and palms flat to the floor. Eames! Only one finger, and he's already quivering, head lagging forward and the rest of him trying to rock back, trying to ask for more, even though he can't seem to find the words. When Eames slips it back out of him so he can strip the gloves off with his teeth, fumble open his belt and zip, the moan that rips itself from Arthur's throat is painful to hear. What are you? Don't. Please don't. Need it. Where the fuck are you? And then Eames has both bare hands wrapped around his hips, has the hard length of his cock pressed right up against the seam of Arthur's arse, blisteringly hot even through the dampened cotton of his boxers. Oh, says Arthur, and shoves himself back. Fuck, Eames, come on, just. He's trying to stand again, but can't seem to find the coordination. Eames hauls him back up just long enough to slick a kiss against his hot red mouth and bear down on him all over again, this time over the side of the bed. Arthur's cries are only slightly muffled by the mattress as Eames grinds his prick into the cleft of his arse, then presses at the rim of his entrance with two fingers this time. In, Arthur orders hoarsely, and in one smooth movement Eames buries them both inside him, hilt deep in searing heat and tight-clenching muscle and Arthur. Can't, Arthur chokes out. Need gonna. Do it then, Eames hisses and crooks his fingers. Come for me like this. He does. Arthur, when he turns and drapes his arms around Eames's neck, is a blissful, jelly-legged mess, and his cock is still half-hard. Eames has him lie down on the less rumpled half of the bed, lets him burrow against his chest until his breathing evens out, then wipes him clean, and finally takes a moment to step out of his clothes. It's a miracle he hasn't sweated clear through the lab coat. Will you be all right on your own for 2 minutes while I get us some water? 2 minutes is fine, Arthur mumbles into the pillow. 2 weeks, though. It's too fucking long. He hasn't moved a centimeter by the time Eames returns. It takes a bit of cajoling before he sits up enough to drink at all, but Eames doesn't let up until he's satisfied that dehydration is no longer an issue. Then he folds Arthur up in his arms, holding him as he settles back down, once or twice catching an earlobe between his teeth and suckling at it, just to make Arthur squawk and bat at him. And for a warm, slow span of time, even though he still needs to come and Arthur seems like he might be ready to drop off, that's enough. Eames is starting to think of slipping off for a wank and leaving Arthur to his nap when he turns over. The stuff he said. Arthur sounds tentative, though the way he presses at Eames's cock is anything but. Was that for real? Because I know you've got some kinky shit stashed away. Without ceremony, Eames rolls his eyes, rolls over, and reaches into the lower portion of the bedside table. Should have known this would come up, shouldn't I? The aforementioned cuffs are soft, padded leather, and he chucks them onto the mattress and lets Arthur look. We're not using these any time soon, he says simply. It can be good to start small. For instance, if I were to have you put your hands over your head and keep them there. Immediately, Arthur lays his arms on the pillow above his head and grips his own wrists. Despite the water he just gulped down, Eames's mouth goes dry. Christ, Arthur. A faint frown appears on his face. You said. I did, you're right, Eames assures him, running thumbs up the stretch of his ribs, grazing the hollow of an armpit, the soft bristle of hair. You do so well at listening when the mood suits you. I can keep listening. He's not at all anxious, a bit wide-eyed, but still solemn, snapping his hips up against nothing while Eames brushes his hair away from his face. In olden days, before anesthetics and proper sedation methods, they'd strap you to the bed to keep you from writhing about. Fortunately, we've moved beyond that. He hesitates, tapping under Arthur's chin to ensure he meets his eyes. You'd need a safe word. Something to say if you want to stop, something you're not likely to say in bed. Arthur hums, pressing up when Eames curves a hand over his hip. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Eames laughs and bends to kiss beside his navel. Maybe something that rolls off the tongue a bit more easily. Like what? Arthur wrinkles his nose. Rigatoni? Delaware? Daddy? He sounds completely light-hearted, but Eames suddenly feels like he's had the air punched out of him. He keeps his face ducked out of sight and bites lightly at Arthur's stomach. Or, Arthur says slowly, is that something you wouldn't actually mind hearing? There's something disturbingly gleeful about his tone. Holy shit. This, Eames begins, tries to swallow, tries again. This isn't. So calling you doctor isn't okay, but daddy is totally fine? Because that makes so much sense. This isn't the time for... Arthur's smirk is merciless and devastating and leveled directly at his groin. Yeah, actually, it totally is. Unless this is all a big misunderstanding and you just really, really like rigatoni. Eames decides the best way to shut him up is by reaching for more lube. That vibrator of yours, you brought it with you, didn't you? Backpack, Arthur says thickly, after a beat. It only takes a moment for him to remove the thing from Arthur's school bag, where it's been dumped on the floor near the bedside table. It's nothing fancy, sleek and mid-sized, and a fetching dark red that matches Arthur's cheeks astoundingly well. When did you decide to make this investment, pray tell? Been thinking about it for a while. It came in the mail yesterday. Is that why you really paid me a visit today? Part of it, Arthur admits glibly. But I would have just made up another excuse if it wasn't. He angles his hips upward a notch. And, I mean, I probably don't even know how to use it, so you should really show me how. Eames snorts. Right then, for the sake of the exam, let's say this is now 1902 and you're being treated for hysteria, shall we? Arthur just parts his thighs and flashes those schoolboy dimples at him. Whatever you want, doctor. Eames lets that go by, just this once. Even with one orgasm under his belt, Arthur reflexively tightens up when Eames' slippery fingers press back inside him. You engage in intercourse regularly. Not lately, Arthur snorts. Safe? All the right tests taken care of? Yeah, Arthur says absently, then seems to lose patience. Eames, just put it in. Eames is almost tempted to chuck this so-called hysteria treatment out the window and spank his bum red for pulling a trick like he had by showing up at work. Maybe sometime he'll mention this to Arthur, see how it goes over. For now, while Eames is teasing the rounded tip of the vibrator against him without ever quite entering, putting a stop to anything would just be counterproductive. Think you can keep your hands above your head for this? He gives a little push to the base of it and watches the way Arthur's body clamps down, tries to keep it out, then just as automatically tries to relax and make it easier for him. The tips of Arthur's fingers are digging into his forearms, which are still flat to the pillow. Yeah. He doesn't sound or look all that certain, but this is new, and Eames isn't going to push it. Keep them like that if you can. There's a love. He presses it a little deeper inside him, also pressing a palm to his belly, feeling it tremble when Arthur gives a shaky groan. More? Can you handle the whole thing? Arthur arches, silent but so eloquent, and it's all the answer Eames needs. Then he tries to turn the vibrator on, and absolutely nothing happens. Eames blinks, waits, twists the dial, and tries once more. Don't tell me you forgot to put the batteries in this. Oh, shit. Arthur, in addition to looking about half a very frustrating second away from coming, looks like he's been clubbed over the head. Oh, fuck. I just flipped one of them backwards because I was worried about accidentally switching it on. He sounds so fed up with himself that Eames can't help flashing a bit of a smirk at him. Always thinking ahead. Being responsible is such a trial, isn't it? As it turns out, Arthur's not so far gone that he's forgotten how to glare, but it all goes to hell when Eames lets his fingers play over the base of the toy. He draws it out, turns the topmost battery the right way round, then eases it back into Arthur's body rather less gently than before. This time, when he turns the dial, Arthur clenches and whines, and Eames can actually feel the hum of the vibrator through him when he pushes a palm against the lower portion of his stomach. Has to grip the base of his own cock with his other hand because he can't count on himself not to lose it from that alone. If Arthur has any illusions of Eames being able to hold off for longer than a minute or two at this point, he's setting himself up for a spectacular disappointment. Arthur, with his lashes damp and dark against his cheeks, smothering a curse in Eames's neck when Eames bends to suckle at the edge of his ear, thrusting up hard and whining when their stomachs slip damply together. Wish I'd known about this earlier. Eames thumbs the vibrations up a bit higher, nudges in nice and close so his lips brush Arthur's ear with each rough whispered syllable. Maybe I should have had you slip it in yourself and wait for me that way. Arthur's eyes roll back, squeeze closed. Fuck! Can't say that or... And Eames is being a little cruel by talking at this point, since what else is Arthur supposed to do in response to that other than clamp down around the vibrator and come right there? It's been too long, much too long, for someone Arthur's age. But having him here against him and losing control just that easily has Eames giddy on mingled pride and arousal. Arthur brought this over because of him, and he can't shut up. What do you think? If I had you lie there, stretched out and filled and waiting for me to come fuck you properly, would you like that? Skimming fingers along the straining curve of Arthur's cock, he angles the vibrator upward and proceeds to get slammed with vertigo when he realizes that he can feel the hint of its shape inside Arthur when he palms his belly again. You'd be so good for me, wouldn't you? Waiting for me and wishing you could rub one out, spreading your legs and clenching so tight to try and get enough to make you come, but still keeping your hands off yourself until you were allowed. Arthur is nodding, sweating all over again, and gripping hard at Eames's hair, apparently having forgotten he's not supposed to be using his arms. Eames takes his hand off the toy but leaves it inside him, trusts his body to contract around it hard enough to keep it in place, then gathers him close, kisses his mouth, even though it's more of a train wreck than a kiss. You'll come without being touched at all, won't you, sweetheart? Let me see that. Show me how you'll come like this, fucked open without a hand on you. No, grits Arthur. Eames freezes. His eyes are scarcely open, but he's shaking his head fiercely. Want you instead. He's already reaching to slide the vibrator out of himself. Eames's fingers instinctively slip up between his thighs, toying with the slickness streaking them. Eames, Arthur hisses. I swear to God, if you don't... Eames doesn't catch the rest of that. He grapples with a condom, squeezes a ludicrous amount of lube over himself, and then Arthur is holding himself open still more with one damp hand hooked behind his knee, and his hips are rolling down to meet him the instant Eames aligns the head of his cock with his arsehole, and the next thing Eames knows, he's encased in Arthur's body up to the hilt. Arthur lets out something between a growl and a plea, and Eames can't form a coherent thought to save his life. Eames loves making him come like this, loves that he doesn't even need a hand on him in order to come at all, that Arthur's slight and limber enough to be manhandled however Eames pleases. He loves that Arthur can't ever keep quiet when he's this close to the edge, crying out as Eames pounds into him, letting himself get pulled up into Eames's lap. Eames has an arm around his waist and a hand jerking his cock, has his head bowed and his mouth sucking a mark into Arthur's bony shoulder. He doesn't utter more than a low groan as he spills into him, eclipsed by the way Arthur wails and slackens in his arm when he convulses and slicks his abdomen with cum a second time. When he stretches out, sticky and spent, and lets Arthur curl up against him, it's as if they've never been apart at all. Eames can't decide whether this is more comforting or unsettling, then decides not to dwell on that at all. So, did we cure you? He asks after a little while. Nope, Arthur answers. He's rediscovered the cuffs and seems to be learning them by touch, lying there with his eyes closed and curiously roving hands. I think we should compare different techniques over an extended period of time. He opens his eyes then, glancing first at the cuffs and then over at Eames. You wouldn't hold back on any of this stuff if I were 10 years older. You're right, Eames says simply. I wouldn't, because by then your frontal lobe would be fully developed, and I'd have less reason to worry about warping your impressionable sensibilities. But you're not warping me, Arthur insists, his voice quiet. Eames, I mean it. You're not. I really think you might kill me someday. You know that, don't you? Maybe, says Arthur, rolling onto his stomach. His mother thinks he's sleeping over at a friend's, which isn't actually a lie. And Eames really oughtn't to be thinking about Arthur's mother while her son is sprawled naked in bed beside him and fondling bondage accessories. But only with little deaths. Eames settles a hand against the small of his back without conscious thought, rubbing small circles there. Smart arse. For a long while, Arthur just dozes and leaves him to it, smiling sleepily. It feels good, Daddy. Eames's breath spikes into his lungs like ice water. Arthur smugly wriggles over, showing his stomach, his skinny body smeared with sweat and cum. I knew you liked it. Eames can't protest, and Arthur distracts him excellently by snuggling in for a kiss, tongue slipping inside his mouth, hands slipping down his back. Didn't you miss me, Daddy? Pinching at one of Eames's nipples, whispering against his lips. Didn't you want to put your cock in me again? Which must be a line he heard in a porn video somewhere, but Eames is helpless anyway. Arthur licks at his bottom lip. Come on, just admit it. You don't get to pretend like you're totally vanilla just because of my fucking frontal lobe. Bloody shameless, that's what you are, Eames tisks, neither confirming nor denying anything, and nips at his chin. Yep, Arthur says cheerfully, sliding a leg over Eames's hip and humming a bit when Eames's hand trails up the inside of his thigh. Just a little boy with an undeveloped frontal lobe, remember? I was in second grade 10 years ago. Please finger me again. Eames is way ahead of him, already pressing two of them in up to the second knuckle. We're going to have to talk about a few things, he murmurs against Arthur's temple, more for effect than anything else. But I'm sure you're aware of that. Oh, I know. Arthur is laughing, shrugging, looking at him with that too-smart-for-his-own-good gaze, unbearably attractive and squirming in Eames's arms, and altogether making a nuisance of himself in the most charming way possible. But not now. The end.